Hi, you're listening to the Common Man and Timmy podcast, sponsored by my friends at Care Heating and Cooling. You know, a lot of people come up to me and say, Common Man, can we just give you some money? Because we like the show so much. How do we support the show? And I say, you know what? I don't take money. But my friends at Care Heating and Cooling, they take money and they support the show. And they'll actually do some work for the money. Unlike me, I'll just take the money and run away. If you're in the need for HVAC assistance, and at some point you will be, remember my friends and sponsors of the program, Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
Hey, look, it's a giant pile of stupidity. Looks like you found Common Man and T-Bone.
Big husky kiss.
In short bursts, I can fake being a human.
Why these segments are less than 15 minutes long.
That's exactly right. You don't want to hear me for longer than that. I can't do it.
He gets 5 minutes to regroup and back at it. He's great.
That's right.
These things went 20 minutes. Watch out.
Get the hell out of here. I can't do that.
Produced by Panama Ted.
Too hot.
And a plethora of sounds that make no sense.
Pay me a stick of bubble gum.
For what?
Cracks and gaps.
Re-rack it.
Yeah.
Time to penetrate your ear hole. Ew. This is Man and Bone.
Happy Monday. Welcome in. Hello, Bone.
Hello, man.
We got a lot to talk about today.
Oh, yeah.
It is Yikes Monday. Yikes is coming up at 4:34. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
No Jason's beef today. He's out. Maybe later in the week he will join us. We have plenty of things to talk about in his absence.
Mm-hmm. I figure you wanted to start with Taylor Swift, nonstop coverage of...
You know, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. I was yearning for the days of Laura Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
And the split jersey.
There was a guy that showed up to work yesterday getting ready for an NFL game. Guy or gal who runs the camera who thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to shoot, I don't know, maybe some defense. Maybe I'll be more on the like defensive side of the football, or maybe I'll just be on the sideline of the Chiefs. Maybe I'll be shooting that. And they're like, hey, you're going to be aimed at a box looking at Taylor Swift. That's all you're going to do today. You're not going to move the camera. You can pretty much put it on lockdown and just sit there in a lawn chair and sip a soda. And just watch that happen. And you know what? I guess for him, it was an easy day at the office. But for the rest of us, we had to see that nonstop. At least for the first half of that game.
It was a bad day for Albert Breer yesterday.
Oh?
Does he still work for NFL Network?
I think. No. I know he's Peter King. He's been doing a lot of Peter King stuff.
Long time NFL reporter.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, used to be a friend of the show. Then we divorced him.
We don't hate him. We just don't have him on.
You know,
we just don't have him on.
You know.
It's not like anything against him.
Whatever. Bad cell phone connection.
Yeah, I think we had that once or twice.
But he went on Twitter and said, is that Dennis Rodman sitting next to Taylor Swift?
Oh.
And no. Then lots of people said, no, Albert, that's just a random black guy.
Oh.
But I'm glad they look all the same.
No.
To you.
No, that's not. Let's hope that's not it. Let's hope that's not what happened. Poor Albert Breer, that's not good.
Poor everybody. Hey, here's how it works. 3 o'clock hour, first hour of the show, lots of Buckeyes, lots of college football. 4 o'clock hour, NFL things. 5 o'clock hour, a little mix of everything. We reserve the right to throw that formula out, depending on how we feel. We are reacting to a big Buckeye victory. Buckeyes beat Notre Dame 17-14. I cannot express to you the level of emotions, the different emotions I was going through watching this game, especially in the fourth quarter, where I did my patented move, where I'm watching the game in the basement by myself. I told Kristen to go upstairs because I had to pace and she was aggravating me.
Yeah, you do not do well with people, but also when there are nerves involved with a football game.
No.
You're not the type of person who likes to be around just chatting with a bunch of people.
I don't know how people get together with friends and watch big games. I can't. Like, I can get together at noon and watch Youngstown State with you. I probably won't be the best company, but I can do that.
Right.
But like a big game like this and a close game that goes down to the wire. Why do you want to be with people? I did the move that I usually do, which is there's 4 minutes left to go in the game. I've got the bathroom door open so I can see the TV as I take a loose poo.
That's what I'm doing on Saturday night. There's no glass. Like, oh, what? I wonder what Common Man's doing. Did he make the trip to South Bend? Is he hanging out with listeners at some sort of party? No, I'm crapping with the door open because I'm so nervous watching this game. That's the glamorous life.
It was a nervous game for me too. We were watching from a hotel room, and my nerves started off before the game when, like, an hour before the game, I'm clicking around to see, you know, where all the channels are, and I got to CBS and it said channel not available, and I'm like,
the game wasn't on CBS.
I know. And then I got to ABC and it said channel not available.
Oh no.
And then I'm like, well, it's on NBC. So I clicked to NBC, channel available. But I was worried because I know that some, you know, TV affiliates have not been on certain providers at different times. I thought, oh no.
I thought they fixed all that.
Well, they probably did. I don't know what was going on at this hotel. We were on our way back from a music festival on Saturday, but I just, on the way back, I'm like, well, we'll just get to the hotel, watch the game, no problem. And then it's an hour before, and I'm thinking, oh no, if I got to try to go out now and find a place. But then that got my nerves already. And then I found the game and I said, good. It was like standard D that they had like up converted to HD, so it was not the greatest picture, but good enough to watch the game. And then the game started, and the first half I'm just sitting there going, is this Let It Rip? This did not look like Let It Rip to me. This looked like squeaky bum time.
Squeaky bum time. This looked that was like squirty bum time.
It was bad. It was not good for the first half. I didn't know where that offense was that Ryan Day had said he was going to call. He was going to go out there and let it rip. That did not look like Let It Rip at all.
That was Let It Rip. Hey, they won the game. Okay?
Well, yes. We're talking about the emotions of the half.
And we're going to do that for 3 hours. But the first thing I have to say is they won the game. Mission accomplished. Right?
Yes.
Good job. You move on. Enjoy your bye week. All right, let's all go. And even though he's not in it yet, just piss on the grave of Lou Holtz, which we'll talk about. Because that was
Why
weird.
Why would you do that?
Weird.
I know. We'll get there.
I picked Notre Dame to win the game last week. The score was, I had 34-31. Game couldn't have been more different than what I thought it was going to be.
Sure.
All right. But I picked Notre Dame to win. But I'm telling you right now, as soon as the Domers walked out, and maybe I knew it, but I forgot it. I forgot they were going to wear the all greens.
Oh, I knew it.
As soon as they walked out with that, I instantly changed my pick.
Oh, really?
Yes. I said, God will not allow a team looking like that to beat Ohio State. Yeah. It's impossible. It's impossible.
Well, it wasn't impossible. It looked like it was about to happen.
But it didn't happen. And why? Why? Because God. He said, no, Marcus Freeman, you will have 10 players on the field for the last two plays of the game.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I just want to point out that
Prove I'm wrong. You can't prove it.
I know I can't, but I will just throw this bit of evidence at you. I grew up in the 90s and watched a lot of poorly coiffed Michigan teams beat really awesome looking Ohio State teams with those god awful unis they wear up there with their stupid helmets. So I don't know that God's just totally looking at the fashion and making the choice there, if there is a choice being made.
But if there was fashion God,
well, yeah, he's not looking down Notre Dame win
the pretty Ohio State threads.
Wonderful.
And I'm glad they didn't do stupid things.
No, just roll out there in your away whites and go. And then Notre Dame should have worn their home.
The frog going out there. I'm glad you lost. For poor fashion.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm glad they lost for lots of reasons. Number one being that gave the Buckeyes a win. Number two, it showed that this team can go on the road and get the job done in a tough environment against a good opponent. So that's good. Like I said, though, the first half, I was in a mixed headspace because on one hand, I'm going, wow, I was really worried about this Notre Dame offense. The running game, Sam Hartman's not like a nothing quarterback. He's a good quarterback. And this defense came to play. Mm-hmm. And I first half, I'm like, well, that's good. Defense is showing up.
And they were giving up some yards and you had some failed fourth downs. But again, this is a big game.
This is college football and this is how the game is played now. Everyone's going for it on fourth down a bunch of times. Everybody's going to do this stuff. You're going to get in the red zone. They don't trust their kickers. But you made the plays when you had to and you kept Notre Dame off the score sheet for a half. If you told me that going into the game, I would have said, well, then the Buckeyes could probably get up by two touchdowns at least by halftime.
I thought your prediction was going to come true because you said you wanted Ohio State to win 3-2. And at the half, I'm like, well, Bones is prediction's coming true.
I technically said, if they win 3-2, I'll be happy. Just get the win however they get it.
All right, well, they got it.
And that proved to be the case.
They got it on the last damn play of the game.
I can point out, though, that I was surprised that the offense I thought defense I was a little concerned about, but they showed up. And so I thought, well, then the offense must have think they would be bolstered by that, but they didn't hardly, they could hardly do anything themselves. Right. So,
well,
that
again,
got me a little bit nervy.
They moved the ball at times, didn't take advantage, just like Notre Dame didn't take advantage.
It was a lot of move it in between the 20s, so and then just fourth like, down, can't get it done.
Just like we're saying, you got to give that Buckeye defense credit because they kept Notre Dame in check. You got to give that Notre Dame defense credit until we don't.
Let me add a caveat there. One of those offenses, Notre Dame's, we've seen what it can do against better competition, I think, so far this year. And Notre Dame has a more established quarterback as far as starts playing
more
big
established
time
quarterback. He's 37 years
well,
old.
That's right. That's what I mean. He's played big time games.
Christian's watching. How old is that guy?
So, I don't know, but if they win this game, he's enjoying some 18-year-old Punani tonight.
Okay. Well,
probably either way.
Whatever.
All I know is Kyle McCord, I was curious to see how he would show up in a big moment, in a big game. And we can get to that, but this had me nervous that you have a better offense for Notre Dame. Seeing Ohio State's defense step up against that, I thought that proved something for this Ohio State defense. For Ohio State's offense, it proved all my fears where that, they get on the road in a big-time matchup. First half, I'm sitting there going, they're not going to get this done. They can't move the football. They can't do anything. Or at least they can't get the yardage they need when they need it. They were not playing to the level that I had thought they would be. And you know, funny enough, looking at my Twitter timeline, a lot of Buckeye fans seem to feel the same way, that Ohio State could not move the football, didn't have the cojones to push guys around, and wasn't tough enough to win.
That one play works. First of all, you shut your
Ryan
Day is going to come over here right now.
I'm telling you what the people, all the Buckeye fans were tweeting at me, and I'm sure if you go on 11 Warriors or any of the other fan sites and go on their comment section, a lot of those Buckeye fans who today are like, yeah, Ohio against the world. A lot of those same fans in the first half were like, fire everyone. Offensive coordinator, offensive line,
that's
everybody
sucks.
That's
the beauty of sports, my friend. The so emotional just, roller coaster.
I'm just pointing out that a lot of Buckeye fans felt the same way that former octogenarian head coaches felt when Buckeyes weren't great at physical play. That's all.
We'll talk about that.
A lot of people felt that way in the first half.
Buckeyes beat Notre Dame. You can join the show if you'd like at Man and Bone 971 on X, and you can text us.
I still can't get used to that.
614-787-3093. More Buckeye conversation coming up next. Common Man and T-Bone on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza, home of the Grandview Browns backers.
We currently have an accident to look out for in the area. Cleveland Avenue at Ferris Road. That is slowing down traffic just a little bit through that area right now. Maybe you could slow you down a minute or two there. Be a little bit cautious getting through that area. This report is sponsored by Buffalo Wild Wings. Join Buffalo Wild Wings for buy one, get one half off traditional wings every Tuesday, and buy one, get one free boneless every Thursday. Shake up your week with flavor. Buffalo Wild Wings. Let's Go Sports Bar. Valid at participating locations while supplies last. I'm Adam Zellick for 97.1 The Fan.
Common Man here for Care Heating and Cooling. Can I tell you a secret? One of my joys in life is a good clean out. Once in a blue moon, I will take it to the next level. I have an air vent right over the toilet. So when I know a wild ride is coming, I'll turn down the AC a few minutes before it's go time. And then when I sit down, beautiful cold air greets me, blowing in my face as I do the deed. And the only people I trust to keep my crapper temp in tip-top shape, that's Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
And you wanted the best. Instead, you got these two. This is Common Man and T-Bone.
Happy Monday. Happy Reaction Monday. Buckeyes beat Notre Dame 17-14. All right, the range of emotions for me. First of all, I'd like to point out, and Teddy, you can back me up on this, because you were here running the game. The delay between the actual action on the field and the television action was almost a solid minute. It was like 40 seconds, right?
That is correct. It was like at least two plays behind.
Well, here's how I know this, because I'm at home. And I'm watching the game. And a buddy of mine who's at the game sends me a text. And the text simply says, Marvin dead. Marvin dead.
Oh, no.
What the hell? So then I'm waiting there. I'm waiting for this play where apparently Marvin Harrison dies.
Yeah.
Right? Instead, what I see is a touchdown run.
Right.
And I'm excited, but I know that somehow Marvin Harrison is dead. And then the camera shows Marvin Harrison on the ground. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So even that touchdown run, which was fantastic.
Oh, Travion Henderson.
Travion Henderson, I've been waiting for you. That was freshman Travion Henderson who showed up on Saturday. Good to see you. It's been a while. But I was so happy to see that touchdown run. But in the back of my mind, I knew Marvin Harrison was somehow somewhere dead.
Yeah.
And it turns out he wasn't.
Well, he, I saw the replay and said, oh no.
Well, he couldn't put any weight on it.
Yeah. I'm looking at that going, this could be it for the season for him. Cause again, I am a weak man who is very much averse to pain. And so when I see something like that, I go, that's the noise I make. And then I go, I wouldn't walk on that for a year if I had that happen to me. And so then I assume that's how football players are, which I know they're not, but I was shocked that he was able to get up and put some weight on it, let alone come back in the game later. But yeah, on that touchdown run, I'm all sorts of excited and then immediately like, oh no, and we lost our best weapon.
It's the range of emotions watching a game like this. You're excited for the run. You're devastated because you think the best player in college football is out forever. And then I'm pissed off at the NBC broadcast. Who was on the sideline? Was it Ahmed Fareed? Is that who it was?
NBC? I forget.
Where, you know, Ian Eagle's kid is doing the game. And they keep going down to him for an update. Fareed. I think it's Fareed.
Okay.
And he's giving updates about Marvin Harrison. Well, I just saw him come out of the tent and he put a little bit of weight on it. And, oh, thank you so much for that update. What fantastic work you're doing. You're doing your job. Shut up. You're there watching a man come out of a tent.
Yeah, I don't understand why.
It's overthinking. It's bothering me.
Yeah, the announcers don't have to say, like, thank you for doing the thing we employed you and hired you to do.
We just dropped you out of a helicopter in the middle of the desert. No, you're standing on the sideline reporting what you see.
Yeah, if they had grabbed someone from the stands and been like, hey, you're going to be a reporter on national TV. Good luck with this tonight. And then every time afterwards, exactly. You're like, hey, you know what? Not so bad. Good job. Thanks for that. You're doing great. I could understand them, but these are professionals hired to do this. It's a thing they want to do. Yeah, it makes no sense.
And then Marvin Harrison comes back out, and I'm saying to myself, well, he's clearly just going to be a decoy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's no way he can hurt like that and then come out and actually cut off of that ankle. There's no way.
I wouldn't have thought so.
And in the first play, he's out there. He cuts like he'd never hurt himself. And he looked just like himself. Now, maybe he was in tremendous pain. Maybe they gave him all the medicine. I don't know.
Sure. Like,
how much medicine will kill a man? Give me a little bit less, and then we'll see what happens. Maybe he's hurting it like hell this week. I have no idea. But I think him being out there for that last drive, even though technically he had three catches on the night, him just being there, he made that diving catch on the last drive, too. They don't win that game if he's not on the field.
No,
I don't think so.
Well, and if he's not effective, he had to be some level of effective for Notre Dame to, you know, they were rotating over, doing everything they could to try to get in his way, try to slow him down, especially in the first half. I know a lot of Buckeye fans were like, throw it to Marvin. And they showed on the broadcast, like, well, he's not as open as, you know, maybe you would think, because that's what Notre Dame was trying to do. But still, you're right. You got to give him a chance to go make some plays when he's not hurt. Then when he did get hurt, I thought, oh, great. They've lost the ability now to do that. But he ended up being a vital part of that second half. I agree with you.
And you know what? It's almost like Emeka Ebuka, pretty damn good.
Oh, well, that's...
We sometimes forget about how good he is.
I think it's easy to do that because of the amount of hype that goes around Marvin Harrison Jr., and he is phenomenal. But Emeka Ebuka is right there, too. They're a great 1-2 punch. I don't know. I haven't watched enough. I know Washington's wide receivers all are putting up amazing stats, and I understand.
You know why?
I do know why. They
the
got somebody.
Rising head of Penix.
Michael Penix Jr., the pride of Indiana football, now has gone on to be a borderline Heisman candidate, or not borderline.
He's the
probably
favorite.
The front runner. Yeah, why am I saying borderline?
The odds I saw was like plus 370 for him to win the Heisman.
So far, it would be the leader in the clubhouse. That would make sense. But I'm just saying, outside of those, maybe those three, Ohio State has the best two, I think, wide receivers in the country.
All right, I'll say this about the Buckeye defense. You know, you allowed some yards between the 20s. You were solid when you had to be solid. We were looking for pressure on Sam Hartman. We were hoping that pressure could come with four and that there'd be some sacks, especially from the ends. Well, we didn't see the sacks. It's another game where you had no sacks on the day. But I don't think the numbers tell the full story because Sam Hartman, to me, did not look comfortable in that entire game.
No,
were getting pressure on him.
They did. They got in his face. They didn't make him, I don't think they hit him as much as you'd probably like to see. But they were an effective defense, I thought. If you in college football in 2023 give up 350 yards on the road as a defense against a top 10 opponent,
team. Yeah,
then you're probably going to be in, you're giving your offense a chance to win the game. That's all you can ask for. Your defense has to be able to give the offense an opportunity to go out and score points and put the thing away. And that is exactly what Ohio State's defense did up until the final drive of the game. For the defense, right? I mean, that's what happened. Notre Dame did go down the field, and that's, I don't blame the defense for that because I think they played so well all game long. You have at some point just so many opportunities that Notre Dame had, and finally they broke, you know, and what are you going to do? On my end, that's more of a thing about Ohio State's offense getting the job done earlier in the game, well, so you don't right. have to be in that position. But fortunately, it worked out because they eventually got it back. So that's what we want. But defensively, I'm not putting any of this game and, well, they almost gave up the game winning touchdown. Yeah, but look how they played all game. The defense was really solid this entire game. I thought they played great.
I've been the toughest on the defense. And because it hasn't just been a problem the last couple of years. It was a problem before that. It's just gotten worse the last couple of years, especially in big games. So I was very skeptical about what I was going to see. I mean, I picked Notre Dame to score 34 points on Friday. So clearly I thought they'd move the football and be effective in the red zone. They weren't. And like you said, let's say that game ends 14-10. Okay?
Yeah.
As devastating as that loss would have been, I wouldn't put that on the defense, even with that last drive.
Nope.
You go on the road and you give up 14 points, that's good enough to beat anybody. It should be. So kudos to the defense. I thought they stepped up and did a fantastic job.
Yeah, I think ultimately the toughness level, all that stuff gets talked about. It's not just about toughness. Football, you can be as tough as you want. I guarantee you all the Colorado football players, pretty tough. If you just have better scheme, better players, better everything like Oregon did, it doesn't matter how tough you are,
right,
you're going
right.
to lose. And Ohio State has great players, just like Notre Dame does. And in those games, yes, it can matter more who wants it more, all that stuff. But I think it still comes down to coaching and it still comes down to execution as much as it comes down to toughness and desire and all those things. It's all of it. You've got to have the total package. And so for Ohio State defensively, that's been the question mark was, are the coaches putting these guys in spots to make plays? And I think by and large, this game they did. So maybe we can judge Notre Dame's offense more harshly and say they're not as good as we thought, but I'm not going to do that. As of right now, I think Notre Dame still had one of the better offenses in college football, and the Buckeye defense slowed them down.
New polls are out. Details next. Common Man and T-Bone on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza, home of the Grandview Browns backers.
Looking out for that accident reported at Cleveland Avenue at Ferris Road. That is slowing down traffic just a little bit through that area right now. Going to want to be a little bit careful and cautious getting through that area around that accident. It could slow you down at least a couple of minutes. This report is sponsored by Family Dollar. Get ready to fall into savings this week at Family Dollar. Stay ahead of the mess and save on things like Swiffer refills, Gain laundry products, Bounty paper towels, and more. When you clip your smart coupons, Family Dollar, helping you do more. I'm Adam Zellick for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
The podcast is brought to you by our friends, Care Heating and Cooling. I end every commercial the same way, telling you to hire Care when you need a company you can trust. It's not just a slogan. It's the Care Creed. With arms wide open, the way they live their life and the way they strive to be remembered by you, the customer, at the end of every interaction with Care. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
Attention. Please flip your listening device to the stupid setting. Thank you. You're listening to Man and Bone.
During football season, we react to things. That's what we do all day long on Reaction Monday, sponsored by Mary Haven, offering free help to gamblers and their loved ones. All right, Buckeyes beat Notre Dame 17-14. New AP poll is out. Georgia stays at number one, getting 55 first-place votes. Michigan is number two, getting one first-place vote. Texas is three. Ohio State moves up two spots to four, and they get one first-place vote. From Lou Holtz. Florida State is down a spot to 5. Penn State up a spot to 6. Washington up a spot to 7. USC down 3 spots to 8. Oregon's up a spot to 9. Utah's up a spot to 10. Notre Dame is down to 11th. So they just dropped 2 spots. Yeah. Elsewhere in the Big Ten, that's it. I was going to say, is there another Big Ten team in here? No, there's not.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I'm not totally surprised. I know a lot of Buckeye fans have been worked up about why are we not getting more first place votes? Why are we not getting voted higher?
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter.
Look, you beat Notre Dame, you stayed undefeated, you keep going like this, the number will improve. Other teams are going to lose, but also this is not the college football playoff rankings. As long as you're in the top 4 there, that's what I care about. And then if you get to a point where you are obliterating teams by 50 and you're rolling into places like Notre Dame and winning by 3 touchdowns and they're still putting you 3rd or 4th or 5th, then I get being frustrated, but that's not happened yet. So when we get to a point where Ohio State is doing those things, then I believe Ohio State will get the credit it deserves, Mike. It's almost like Ohio State quite often does get the credit it deserves, more often than not, I feel like, nationally. I don't know that I buy into the Ohio against the world narrative when it comes to the Ohio State football program.
I don't get that either. I mean, I'm very comfortable as an Ohio State fan playing the role of the big bad.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's what we are. The rest of the conference looks at us, regardless of what's happened the last couple of years with Meat Chicken and not winning the Big Ten, as the big bad, the team to beat. And up until a couple of years ago, the only team in the Midwest that got any respect was Ohio State. And I don't understand this desire to be the picky one, the one who's picked on, the plucky underdog. You're not that.
No.
You're the big bad. Ryan Day is paid $10 million, as we found out last week, not 9, $10 million this year to have tunnel vision. All right? That's his job. It's his job to go into the facility every single day and get these guys ready to play. I sometimes find the motivational tactics a little odd. He's not alone with this when it comes to football coaches. I don't know why necessarily you care so much about what an 86-year-old man has to say. An 86-year-old essentially mascot for Notre Dame. I mean, that's got you all worked up.
Right.
Okay. And Brian Day saying after the game, this will go down as one of the biggest wins in Ohio State history. Excuse me? What are we talking about here? Look, as good as that was on Saturday, as good as it was, you were still the higher-ranked, favored team going into that building doing what you were supposed to do. This was not the Michigan game. This was not the Big Ten championship game. This was not a playoff game. This was week 4 and the first of many challenges that you will have this year on this Ohio State schedule. And while it was an excellent win, I think Ryan Day's emotions afterwards got the better of him a little bit. It is not one of the greatest wins in Ohio State history. Just before the game, we were talking about how Notre Dame hasn't done anything significant in 30 years.
No.
If Notre Dame won this game, it would be their biggest win since 1993. You didn't go down to Tuscaloosa and beat Alabama in their home building and put the final nail in Nick Saban's coffin. It was none of that. It was a very, very good, gritty win that I'm sure you were excited to have. It is not the greatest of all time, and I don't know why you're throwing an 86-year-old guy under the train tracks.
Well, yeah, I don't. First of all, and I know you don't either, I care less about Lou Holtz. Say whatever you want about Lou Holtz. I'm not necessarily a fan of Lou Holtz either. I saw the quotes because I was, you know, out a little bit last week. I did not see this when it happened. So I'm watching this game, and I see Ryan Day like, yeah, I want to know where Lou Holtz is. And I'm like, what? Jeez, what are you going to do?
You kick his ass?
Like, what's happening? And then I, like, some people said some things, so we're just entirely out of line. And I'm like, whoa, what did Lou Holtz say? I got to hear this. And then I'm thinking, like, did Lou Holtz, like, talk about someone's wife? Or were they, like was he talking about some off the field? What did he say? So I go watch the video. First of all, didn't realize it was on McAfee's show. Second of all, didn't realize it was Lou Holtz blending into a chair, almost looking like a piece of the furniture at this point. I felt bad for him. He's obviously very advanced in age. Let him live. I hope he's okay. And then I see he's talking to someone who's dressed up as him doing a bad Lou Holtz impersonation on the goofiest sports show on the planet that's on television in Pat McAfee's show. And they asked Lou Holtz, legendary Notre Dame coach, hey, coach, obvious question here. Who's going to win this game?
In front of the crowd.
In front of a crowd.
There's thousands of people there.
On Notre Dame's campus, Lou Holtz says, I got to tell you, I think that this team's going to win. Like, yes. Did you called up Tony the Tiger and said, tell me your favorite breakfast cereal. And then you're like, how dare he say Frosted Flakes? You asked the mascot for the opinion. What did you think he was going to say? So that's why when $10 million a year coach Ryan Day is like, I don't know where Lou Holtz gets off talking about our team. He was on a show, asked about your team, and he said a bunch of things that Ohio State fans say all the time about your team. Weak, not good in big games, have some tough moments when a team gets physical at the line of scrimmage, not sure about that offensive line, not sure about that defensive line. Can they run the football? Can they move the ball in the fourth quarter? And did I just read Lou Holtz's mind or the 11 Warriors message board? Which one is it? So when Ryan Day says, I got to take on the haters, great, take on Lou Holtz. I guess he's a hater. You might want to start with the call that's coming from inside the house, though, which is all the Buckeye fans who today are like, yeah, Ohio gets world. No one believes in us. You didn't believe in us. I didn't believe in us until the fourth quarter. Well, none of us believed in us. What are we talking about?
Even then, this is a good win. Don't get me wrong.
It's a great win.
What have you accomplished? You've done nothing. Ryan Day saying, except for one bad half in Ann Arbor, we did pretty damn good. It's like, what?
Yes, except for that.
Who?
Dude, I had a few people in my, and again, I thought I fell into the Matrix because I said this on Twitter yesterday. I said, while it's great that you can call out Lou Holtz, I'd love it if you could actually do that. And Ryan Day can't right now. He's not in a position where he can call out Kirby Smart, Nick Saban, Jim Harbaugh. He certainly can't call any of those guys out because he hasn't done it against them. And that's fine. Maybe he will. He almost did against Kirby Smart, to be fair. And he did beat, did they get Clemson when he was there?
Yeah, they got Clemson.
They got Clemson. All right, that's fine. But I'm just saying, by and large, in these big games, it's been tough. And Buckeye fans have been frustrated. But I'm fine if he does go and eventually get over that hump. I want to see it happen. I'm not sure that calling out Lou Holtz is the thing. If you're saying people are coming at Ohio State, that's fine. But you know what? Get used to it. You're coach at Ohio State. Nick Saban gets people come at him, too. You know, he gets mad at the fans who leave in the fourth quarter when his team is pasting somebody by 50. That's who he gets mad at, which is also stupid. But I just don't understand this logic that, like, no one believes in Ohio State. Lots of people do actually believe in Ohio State. And maybe you guys don't believe in yourselves yet. And maybe this was a step in that direction. I hope it is, because I got news for you. Teddy, if you can get Lou Holtz's number, let's call him up and get him for Michigan week. I'd love him to be on show.
I don't want Lou Holtz.
I want to talk to Lou Holtz
instead
about what he thinks of this team against Michigan so we can get refired up when that game comes around.
We have not done it in a while, but perhaps fake Lou Holtz can call in.
Oh, that'd be great.
And you know what? He can piss on Schembechler, too.
Yeah.
We can. You know, we all made fun of Jim Harbaugh going to the grave. To Bo's grave and busted a nut.
He took a hammer
right on the grave.
He hit a nut, a Buckeye nut, and split it in half, or tried to.
How crazy is that guy? Crazy. But then again, our guy's calling out some guy who had to take leave from the nursing home to come to the football game this weekend. It's almost like all these guys are a touch crazy.
Yes, that's fair. And I will say this is a thing going around. Georgia last year going to the national championship game after they won that. No one believed in us. It's like you were
the defending champs, national champions.
And you were like top five all year.
Ranked number one the entire season.
I don't know who
everybody
didn't believe
believed in
yeah,
you.
Yeah, they thought you. The question was, could they do it again? But that's just because they got to fill 3 hours on SportsCenter. That's not because they don't believe you're good. So this is everyone doing this now. Everyone in college football, no one believed in us. Ryan Day, people believe in you, just for what it's worth.
We have a kick time for OSU in Maryland. Details next. Common Man and T-Bone on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza, home of the Grandview Browns backers.
Looking out for that accident reported at Cleveland Avenue at Ferris Road. That is slowing down traffic just a little bit through that area right now. Going to want to be a little bit careful and cautious getting through that area around that accident. Could slow you down at least a couple of minutes. This report is sponsored by Family Dollar. Get ready to fall into savings this week at Family Dollar. Stay ahead of the mess and save on things like Swiffer refills, Gain laundry products, Bounty paper towels, and more. When you clip your smart coupons, Family Dollar, helping you do more. I'm Adam Zellick for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Oh, hello! I was talking to my annoying friend, Duchess Kumquat. She was retelling a very dramatic story about how her and Lord Beaverqueef were stuck sleeping in a very hot room because their janky air conditioning unit took a crapola. They were so hot and sweaty, it took them out of the mood for getting hot and sweaty. Don't be like Kumquat and Beaverqueef. Call my friends at Care Heating and Cooling. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company Beaverqueef can trust.
Highly medicated, barely educated. This is Common Man and T-Bone.
Hey, make sure to subscribe to the Common Man and T-Bone podcast. It is available wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Common Man and T-Bone. Click subscribe. Every single show comes right to your device free of charge. Podcast brought to you by our friends, Care Heating and Cooling.
Mike, can I ask one more question about the haters who believe Ohio State's not physical enough to get it done?
Yes.
Obviously, we've all had those questions. I think a lot of Buckeye fans have had those questions. Is it fair to say the guy who's calling plays for Ohio State, whoever that is on the sidelines at any given moment, that guy may be questioned during this game if they were physical enough to get the yard they needed when they needed it? Because,
first of all,
we saw multiple times on fourth and one, where the third and one where they didn't get the yard, and then fourth and one they either went pass or jet sweep on a couple different times. All right. So
let's get things straight.
Okay.
Wasn't a yard.
Okay.
It was an inch.
Okay.
All right. It was fourth and an inch. And I was just going to say, I never want to see that jet sweep.
Oh, my God.
In a short yardage situation ever again. You want to throw it out there and, you know, try and trick them on first down or a little sneaky look on second down. Fine. Whatever.
Yeah.
Fourth and an inch. I don't know how you don't have your 6'4 quarterback just fall down.
Right.
There you go. There, you can't get an inch. If Kyle McCord, five-star guy, can make huge throws on the final drive of the game, rocket for an arm, all of that, can't fall forward and get an inch, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's been a thing that you can go back to when Krenzel was playing, where was Krenzel the most athletic guy in the world? No, but he could make a few moves with his feet when he had to. Was he the biggest arm in the world? No, but he could make really accurate throws and read a defense. But you know what he also could do? When you had a third and one or third and two or fourth and one, he was really good goal line at being able to like pick the lane right behind whoever was getting the push on the offensive line and stick his head in there and drive forward and get the first down. I mean, he did that plenty of times. And I think that's when you're a bigger quarterback, yeah, that's something that you have to have in the arsenal, don't you? And that's something that the coaching staff should not be afraid to call.
Everybody should have in the arsenal.
Fair enough. But I'm just saying, this whole argument about, or not even argument, just Ryan Day saying people doubted us, doubted how physical we are. Ryan, I mean, you doubted yourself. Fourth and one, you're calling a jet sweep. You're calling a pass play. Now, thankfully, on the fourth and one or whatever it was the last play of the game a fourth down too? I can't, in my mind it was, because it was the last play, period.
Was it a fourth down or was it a third down? Doesn't matter. It was the
last
play of the
game. The stakes were the same, right? It's a fourth. You don't get this, the game's over and you lose, right? So it was bigger than a fourth down. On that play, you finally did what you should have. You trusted that you could get the yard, and you did.
You saw the mismatch. Right.
Well, yeah.
You saw that Notre Dame had two guys over there to try and stop the run. And we'll talk about that later and how, you know, Marcus Freeman should be embarrassed.
Well, absolutely.
Totally embarrassed. I mean, that was two plays in a row.
Yeah. Well, that logic. Yeah, we can get there. That logic made no sense to me. His answer to that after the game.
Ryan
Day,
it would have been easier to say, I'm not going to do that. Right, I'm going to try and do a little fade in the end zone with one of my great wide receivers. Right? Yeah. And have a jump ball that hopefully they can go up and get. That's our best odds to score in this situation. He saw that, you know, they had the matchup on the left side of that line, trusted Chip to get the ball over without the knee down. Chip!
By the way, how is he not the running back of our show? Chip. I mean, it makes perfect sense.
Well, I mean,
our guy.
I like him.
Chip!
But Travion Henderson was the running back of that game.
Well, he had one run that was great.
Well, he was good, I think, for the whole game.
Okay,
he was pretty good.
That's fine.
But yes, that one run, excellent.
Amazing. It's a difference-making run. Also, while we're on Ryan Day, because again, I know people have revised history, but during this game, lots of people had questions about what we're doing when we're in goal line situations or close to scoring a touchdown. I just want to throw this out there. Maybe you disagree with me, Mike. I didn't ask you about this. I'm not sure how you'd come down on it. Mm. I'm watching this last drive where we've got to go down the field against Notre Dame's defense and try to score a touchdown now because we're down four. And I'm thinking back to the two times we were in the red zone with a fourth and inch. One of them was, you know, fourth and goal line, right? And one of them was, I think, right outside the goal line, whatever it was, inside the 10. Fourth down, and we decided to go for it and not kick field goals either time. And I thought in my head, you know, if we kicked field goal both times, who knows how the rest of that game goes? We may not even need to go down and score. We just need to run the clock out, get a couple first downs, run the clock out, because we could have had 16 points instead of 10.
Look, I've talked about this. It's different if you're a 20-point underdog and you're on the road and you're clearly overmatched from a depth perspective. You have to take advantage of those opportunities and get touchdowns when you can. Right? And so maybe you go out there and take some risks that you normally wouldn't take against equal competition. But when you're Ohio State, you're in a game like that, and at that point we knew it was a dogfight. We knew it was a low-scoring game. I'm taking all the points I can get.
Yeah. And I mean, there were two chances there. And I'm saying at the time, kick field goal, and then they run back out there. And Ryan Day has this tendency. He did it against Michigan both years, last couple years. He's done it in other games too, where he feels like, I've got to prove that we're tough. And I really could care less if you prove that you're tough.
All you have to do
I want you to win the game.
Win the game and prove that you're good.
The best
now,
way
they did
to
win
do
the
that,
game.
I know.
Yes. Now continue to win games.
Yes, but I'm pointing out that a more likely way to win games is to take points when they're available when you're in. What did this game end up being? A 3-point game?
Yeah.
Would it have helped to have six extra points to play with? And then let's say Notre Dame scores, I don't know, a field goal as well at some point. And then you say, well, they're up 17-16. They would have kicked more field goals. They wouldn't have gone for it. Fine. Then you only have to drive down and get a field goal. And maybe that doesn't work out. Maybe Ryan Day's less aggressive of a play caller. I don't know. What I know is I'm glad it worked out this time. But the tendency to decide on fourth down when you have points available, oh, we're going to prove how tough we are. Fine. You could also kick a field goal, get the 3 points, and in a close game, that's going to matter at some point. So I'm glad it didn't come back to bite us here, but it was one play away from doing just that.
Buckeyes on the bye. When they come back, they play Maryland. We have a kick time for that game. It will be noon at the Shoe. So the big nooner.
All right.
So Joel Klatt will be here to tell us all how to behave.
Am I wrong? I need to go double check. Maryland is, do they have a loss?
What did they do this weekend?
I think they are undefeated.
Yeah, they're undefeated.
They play Indiana this week.
Okay.
And that game was originally rumored to be on Peacock, remember?
The Maryland game.
Oh, the Maryland game.
Yeah.
And it's not now. It's on Big Boy Fox.
You have an attractive matchup.
Exactly.
More Buckeye talk, plus Brownies get a victory yesterday. We'll chat about it next. Common Man and T-Bone on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza, home of the Grandview Browns backers.
We're still looking out for an accident in the area. Cleveland Avenue at Ferris Road, slowing down traffic a little bit through that area right now. Maybe just a couple of minutes in delays. And slow traffic, 71 northbound between Greenlawn Avenue and I-70. Could slow you down a couple of minutes there as well. This report is sponsored by American Kennel Club. I'm Adam Zelick for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
The podcast is brought to you by our friends, Care Heating and Cooling. I end every commercial the same way, telling you to hire Care when you need a company you can trust. It's not just a slogan. It's the Care Creed. With arms wide open, the way they live their life and the way they strive to be remembered by you, the customer, at the end of every interaction with Care. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
Did you feel that? It's your radio getting fatter.
Getting fatter.
Chubby time!
This is Common Man and T-Bone.
Common Man and T-Bone brought to you by the Hinder Motor Company. Happy Monday. It is Yikes Monday. Where's my thing? Damn it.
By the way,
Yikes is coming up at 4:34.
David tweeted us. We were talking about how we had nervous poo going during the OSU-Notre Dame game.
I did.
Well, I always do during those type of games. I know you said you were in the bathroom.
I have the television positioned in the basement. Where if I'm in the bathroom, that door is open, I can watch the game.
Okay.
And that's on purpose.
Well, David said, you two weren't the only ones with nervous bowels. Leaving Bridge Park at halftime, and there was a loose poo on the ground in the empty parking spot next to my car. Someone in Bridge Park just dropping trowel? Laying some cable at halftime?
We know what Platinum Fox is doing.
He does love it over there. We know where he was. He does love it over there at Bridge Park. Who doesn't?
Speaking of the game, hey, go figure. A lot of people watched it. NBC Sports got its largest regular season college football audience in 30 years for the game this weekend. Averaged 10.5 million viewers, ranking as NBC's second most watched regular season college football game ever, behind only Notre Dame and Florida State in 1993. Wow. Which got, by the way, 22 million viewers.
Well, remember, back in, what was it, 93?
Yeah.
I mean, there was no YouTube, let alone YouTube TV. There was no Netflix. There was no, half the cable channels weren't the same as they are now, right? I mean, it.
Well, that you couldn't watch 90% of the college football games.
Yeah. We were not at a point where there was a Big Ten network, ACC network, any of that stuff to watch just every sporting event you can imagine. So, yeah, the fact that this game was second only to that shows you just how many people watch this game, and rightfully so. It's a game that went right down to the wire involving two historic programs. Doesn't get much better than that from a college football watching experience. Our nervous bowels aside, from a just if you're a someone watching college football, that got a ton of people to check into that game because it was closed for four quarters.
Football yesterday, Brownies defense dominates the Titans. Titans held to less than 100 yards for the entire game. Miles Garrett, my guy.
I'll tell you, man.
3.5 sacks for him?
Well, maybe it has happened. People who watch film, you can correct me that I'm wrong here probably, but I don't ever recall seeing where in the fourth quarter, he's dancing around behind the line of scrimmage, or maybe it was third quarter. He's going to one side, not one, but two Titans players motion to go over to that side. And then he sees that, motions back to the other side, and they both look at each other, pop up, and move back to the other side. So he does it again, and eventually they can't snap the ball because guys are moving back and forth. They were shadowing him with two blockers, moving with him. To try to, I'm sure it was not just a double, probably a triple team on him, trying to do whatever they could to stop him. That's unbelievable to me. And then they got to delay a game for it because, well, what else are you going to do? They're trying to block him the best they could, and they lost track of the play clock because everybody's in motion. But a dominant performance by this Browns defense. That seems for real.
This was a win that you desperately needed. Are they going to play at this clip the entire season? No, it's impossible. You're not going to hold everybody to less than 100 yards. Right, even that Steelers game that they lost last week, that was a comeback achieved by the Pittsburgh Steelers despite having negative yardage in the fourth quarter. That was on the offense being poo, not on the defense. Now you can say, well, they've had the perfect storm, right? Because you had Ouchie, Joe Burrow, weird, bad Bengals week one in the rain. Then you had bad Steeler offense week two. The Titans are not expected to be very good week three. Doesn't matter. They are dominating people right now defensively.
You had Browns had 23 first downs. Titans had 6, right? I mean, you had third downs. Titans 2 for 12, right? I mean, these are the numbers that if your defense puts those up, and yeah, keeping a team under 100 yards. But let's say you keep an NFL team under 200 yards most games, you're going to have a really good shot at winning if your offense is competent. And we can still have that discussion about what the Browns offense will be when they play better competition. We can still have that discussion about Kevin Stefanski, his decision-making in tight games, but defense plays like this, you won't have as many of those tight games. You will rack up a lot of W's in this league if you can just stop the other team and hope your offense can do some things. Obviously, no Nick Chubb, but that didn't seem to matter.
Well, you got Gerald Ford.
Your guy.
He didn't do much, but
he had a nice little catch for a touchdown.
Yeah, oh, yes. That's true.
Yeah.
Deshaun played better.
Sure. And that's fine.
You're helped by Amari Cooper going out there and being Amari Cooper. I mean, that's what you pay him for.
Yes. Yeah. And there were, I mean, we can get in all the refereeing stuff, too. There's just bad refereeing all around.
What's stopping you?
No, I'm just saying Amari Cooper, you know, had that catch that should have been ruled a catch, wasn't, and everybody acknowledged it was a bad call, and yet somehow the referees, I don't know how they keep their jobs after some of these atrocious calls they're making week in, week out. But, no, Browns, excellent yesterday. There's nothing, I mean, I don't know what you say about that other than, job well done. You move on to 2-1. It's unfortunate you're not 3-0, but whatever. You're 2-1 and future's bright for this Browns team as far as how that defense plays.
Bengals hosting the Rams tonight. Game time decision for Joe Burrow. I keep looking for updates, and that's all I see, is that he's going to go out there and he's going to test it. He took some reps with the first team. I think it was yesterday they said he did some scout team stuff on Friday. Again, this is all closed, so we don't know how active he was, how physical he was. We're going off of reports. The reports are is that he feels much better than he did 2 days ago. But well, the same source says 2 days ago he could barely walk. So what the hell does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I imagine that it does go day to day, feeling better and then worse. And then their hope has to be that whatever damage has been done, it's not going to be exacerbated by playing on it. I'm guessing they've looked at all this and they know if we let him go out there and play, it's not going to make this worse, right? They have to know that. Otherwise, they wouldn't even be entertaining this. So then it becomes a pain tolerance issue and how much can you bear and how effective can you be?
No, it's obviously not going to heal.
No.
If you keep going out there.
But if it doesn't heal, but it's not going to also get worse if you just go out there and play on it, I'm not a doctor. I don't think that's how that works typically. If you go out and play on something that's injured, it can make other things worse. But I also am quite sure they've got a lot of things that can help him deal with that pain for the four quarters of action and then get back to it afterwards. Hopefully for Bengals fans, rather, he can go out there and make the plays he needs to. But I think that a lot of people got mad back when Ja'Marr Chase said this before the season, that maybe you should just have him come back in week 5. We don't need you till then anyway. A lot of people are like, no, you got to get him out there. Now we'll look where you are. You already lost the first 2 games anyway. You're at week 3. Don't know if he's going to play this week. If coming back from that injury too quick caused this issue, was it worth it? I don't think so. I think you should have just rolled out there the first 5 games or whatever, 4 games, kept him on the sideline, made sure he's 100% ready to go. And then hopefully from there, you're able to move on and be fine. But I worry for this being a season-long thing if I'm a Bengals fan.
There is a very real possibility. Well, I mean, you can say it already exists because the stat is that no team has started 0-2 with the first 2 games being divisional losses in the past 20 years and has made the playoffs. So I know that there's always the exceptions, but you would have to be the exception, right? If you lose tonight, I think that's it.
As far as making the playoffs?
Yeah, as far as making the playoffs. Well, I think that's it.
I wouldn't write it off just yet, but well, yeah, I'll say this. If they lose tonight and Joe Burrow plays and looks ineffective and bad and still limping around.
So what's the upside there?
Right. I'm saying if he doesn't play and they lose, but he's getting healthier and they're actually going to do that for a couple weeks, then fine. Season's not over because you have Joe Burrow. If he can get back healthy.
I get that. But eventually, they're going to have to win a game. You know,
I do know that.
It's nice to have that calf get healthy. But this is a debate now within Bengals Nation. Is do you put him out there knowing that he's only maybe 50% and try and win this game because it's desperation time? Is that your only shot of salvaging the season? Him going out there and limping and being hurt and shooting up with Toradol or whatever the hell you have to give him, or resting him and then risking your season being over. So by the time he's healthy and comes back, you know, you're 1-7, whatever the hell it is.
I would hope it's not that. I'm not saying that he needs to be off for like 6 weeks or anything. What I'm saying is if tonight he can't go or it's iffy, I would say just rest and be cautious. Also, that 0-2 stat you mentioned, that is fair, but it is worth noting. Bengals have started off 0-2, I think, the last couple years, if I'm not mistaken.
No, they did. They did last year, but this feels different, doesn't it?
And also, that 0-2 stat with divisional losses did come during a time where we only had 16 games as opposed to 17. It's not a huge difference, but there's another game to kind of get back there. Not any more divisional games, obviously. You've got to figure that out, but there are a lot of playoff spots available for you as a Bengals fan. You just have to get into the playoffs.
Right,
and
I
take care of Joe Burrow and get him fully healthy before I start running him out there again. I don't think tonight, if he's limping around and unsure, I think it's just pull the plug and let him just sit for this week and get him healthy next week, hopefully.
I did see that, was it Reed Sinnett? Is that how we're saying his name? Sinnett? Whatever. Mm-hmm. He's going to be on the active roster tonight.
Who's that? And what
the quarterback they picked up from?
I didn't see that they picked
some.
Him.
Where was he? Somebody's practice squad.
Sure,
he was with him in the offseason. Then he went someplace else. Anyway, late last week they picked him up.
This does say that Reed Sinnott played for the San Antonio Brahmas. Is that the Rocks team?
That is
in
correct.
The XFL. There you go.
Yeah.
So he was with them.
Well, I mean, it's all the Rocks team.
Well,
he owns the league.
That's right. But the Brahmas would be. I mean, that was his nickname, right? Brahma Bull.
Brahma Bull.
I mean, that's clearly named after him.
Right. Next year, he's going to play for the Maui People's Elbows.
I like that. The rock bottoms, that'd be good.
Bone wants Deshaun Watson to get suspended. Details next. Common Man and T-Bone on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza, home of the Grandview Browns backers.
Want to give you an accident update. Cleveland Avenue at Ferris Road. That was slowing things down a little bit here for a while this afternoon. Well, that has just been cleared. Looks like traffic just about free-flowing through that area already again. This report is sponsored by Bob Evans Restaurants. You'll love Bob Evans' new caramel apple hotcakes. It's goodness fresh off the griddle with roasted apples, caramel, and all the sweet flavors of fall. Hurry on in for breakfast at Bob Evans. I'm Adam Zellick for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Common Man here for Care Heating and Cooling. I'm a big fan of preventative maintenance. Something will eventually go wrong, and if you're not prepared, it is sure to cost you money. That's why I want you to sign up for a care plan. My guys at Care make sure your heater and AC are running in tip-top shape, taking care of maintenance and staying on top of any potential issues. Surprises suck. Be prepared with a care plan. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
Objects in radio may be dumber than they appear. This is Man and Bone.
Happy Monday. The segment that's not a segment, yikes, is coming up at 4:34. No, Jason's bee. Jason is not available today. So maybe later in the week he'll join us and talk about how the Reds are dead.
Hmm.
That's it, Ted.
You had
a good run. That's it.
Yeah, after Friday night's game, I had that same feeling. And then I saw Ryan Baker came in here Saturday. He's like, hey, the Reds are up like 4-0. I'm like, oh, great. And then I saw later there was a big yikes, which I'll talk about later.
There was indeed a yikes.
What are they, 2.5 back? Final spot?
Yeah, I believe it's 2.5.
Well, Arizona lost, so I don't know if that makes them just 2 back now. Anyway, so it's right around there.
Okay.
Two months ago, we had this argument where you're like, Reds are dead. And I'm like, well, there's so much time and they're not that far out. And
I'm telling you right now.
Six games, right?
Now, listen to me 2 months ago and all the stress is gone.
No, it's not. No, because then they weren't out. You were saying, you could say, I don't think they're going to do it, but that's different.
Dead.
They have five games.
Okay, dead. Now dead. I agree with you, dead now.
Who are they playing tomorrow? Is it Guardians tomorrow for the Ohio Cup?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you got something to play for, Teddy.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, if anything else, I mean, we win those two games, we win the cup, right? Uh-huh. And that'll be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does the cup look like?
It's like a cup. It's just a nice cup. Sort of like the Stanley Cup, but not
like
as nice.
Just like the Stanley Cup. Do all the players get to take it home?
But they put their names on it.
They spend a day with it. I'm actually looking at it. It is fairly large. It's made of...
What did you think it was? A paperweight?
No, but I'm saying I didn't know if it would be like a... The Super Bowl trophy is like the size of an adult man's arm, right? The Stanley Cup is the size of a decent-sized human being.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
So this is more on the Stanley Cup size than the, World Cup Super Bowl trophy. It's not that small. It does have 4 baseball bats holding up a pillar that then has a big, giant cup. It looks like a silver mixing bowl, if we're honest. Let's be real. But then, fine. It's nice. It says Ohio Cup. It's got, they have changed the logos from the previous Guardians logo that was on there. I hope that's been updated, but whatever. It's a nice trophy.
Jackets opened up the preseason with a pair of games yesterday against the Penguins. They lost the road matchup. They won the home matchup. They're in St. Louis tomorrow. I didn't obviously see any of these games. I did read that Elvis looked like Elvis that we know.
Can I humbly make a request?
Yes.
When you say he looked like Elvis, which Elvis? Are you saying the Elvis we want or the Elvis we've become accustomed to?
The one who died on the toilet.
Okay.
That Elvis.
Okay. So
bloated and constipated.
I see. I just want to say, as much as if he was doing awesome or if he's doing terribly, I don't actually really want any updates on Elvis during the preseason because...
All right, fine. I won't say anything to you.
No, but do you understand what I mean?
He's dead, not even alive.
I am saying, do you understand why? Because if he's awesome, I'm going to get my hopes up that then great. Finally, if this goaltending situation would get fixed, maybe the defense with the additions, they could be a really good defense.
I'm sorry for saying anything.
You should be.
It's like I was talking to Rimmer last week. because camp started up last week, and I called him, and he's at practice.
Yeah.
And so he decides to give me the play-by-play of everything that's going on at practice, even though I did not ask. Like, oh, Texier's grown into the man's body. It's like, all right, that's great, man.
Phrasing.
That's good.
Is that
he's grown into his man's body.
Sure.
And he's talking about Fantilli. Oh, I got to tell you, he's going to be something. First of all, breaking news, Rims. Thanks for that.
Yeah, one of the top prospects to ever come out of North American hockey.
And so then, and I'm saying to him, oh, yeah, he looked real good in Traverse City, I hear. That has nothing to do with it.
That has nothing to do with it.
But if he went and he was terrible up in Traverse City, then we'd be talking about it, right?
Yeah, I know.
It's not going to do with it. Helvis is fantastic. I don't care.
All right. I just want to know.
No, he wasn't.
I want to see Elvis be good.
Yes, me too.
And I want to see him be good in real games. So if and no offense, Jackets fans, if like next week he lights up everything and is like made 40 saves in a game and just looks ridiculous, that's good news. But then we got to do it for real in the NHL.
They're going to do it for real.
I hope so.
I'm telling you.
Okay.
I got a feeling.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking about this offseason. Like, hey, remember that offseason with Babcock?
I hope so.
I only say that because we're just, you know, we're putting Pascal Vincent's name up in the rafters right now as the greatest coach of all time because they've gone out and won the cup.
You're saying that that's what you hope is going to happen.
Yes, okay. That's right.
I do too.
Every story has to have a beginning, okay? If there's no conflict, then why are we interested?
Yeah.
So there you go.
Well, this is conflict. This is certainly interest. I said this to a couple friends earlier today, and I think it's accurate. I think the Jackets will be, if the NHL gave two craps about marketing them, I think to people who are savvy hockey fans who are not in Columbus, people will be tuning in to watch this Jackets team to see Adam Fantilli, to see Johnny Gaudreau, to see all the different star power that they have, plus the talent that they brought in, plus this weird coaching situation. I do think the Jackets will be a must-see type of thing for people outside of Columbus, let alone the people here who are also curious. I'm just saying, I don't think it's, maybe Toronto's not going to do as much about that. Maybe you're not going to hear it on all the NHL media as often because they're going to write off Columbus to start. But I think savvy hockey fans will be very intrigued by watching this team.
Who'd they get today, Teddy? Is it Mark Recchi?
Yeah.
Is that who they got for the assistant job?
Yeah, that's who they got.
That's a Hall of Famer. Going to be on the bench.
All right.
That's great.
Let him live. All right, Bone hates Deshaun Watson, yesterday, and wants him to get suspended so that hopefully the Browns can void his contract.
Yeah, I mean, if you didn't see this yesterday, a bunch of outlets were reporting that he has a clause in his contract that essentially says if he gets suspended for on-field incidents, there are guarantees in his contract that can be voided. And while yesterday he played pretty well, that was nice to know. You'll remember he was pushing officials a couple, you know, just last week, and that was not ideal, not the greatest thing we've ever seen. So he got fined for that, apparently. And while those fines do not constitute anything that makes them have to redo the deal, the Browns would be given an option. So, yeah, yesterday I tweeted out, maybe inappropriately, but I said, Deshaun Watson, please go out and push a referee as hard as you can today. Just because I want to see him get suspended, so then at least the Browns have options. That's all. In case he sucks and is bad, then maybe we could void the deal and move on from him. I'm not saying they would do that. I'm just saying I'd like to have the option to.
Maybe we can pay
not be
off
locked in on all this.
One of these officials to bait him.
Mm.
You know?
Sure. Well, you have to.
Because he likes to bait himself sometimes.
Well, you got to get a referee who's really good at that.
Yes.
Talented.
Yeah.
It can't just be anybody.
No.
Maybe someone who's a pro wrestler. Do we have any former pro wrestlers who are referees? Maybe they could sell it a little bit. Maybe they're very good at faking something like that, selling it. They'd have to be almost a master of their art, Mike.
Got it.
Yeah.
Did you see, by the way, Teddy, what the hell happened to your football team yesterday? Cowboys losing to the Cardinals.
Is it time to talk about the other teams in the league?
Well, what the hell's going on? I bring that up because I want to bring up who was working that game. As a photog.
Well, the Cowboys were bad. They had, some injuries offensive line, but come on. It's the Cardinals.
That's right.
Win the game.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
You should be. You
Cowboys.
Should, yeah. You don't deserve to wear that star. Take it off for
That's
next
right.
week.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I agree. Working as a photographer for that game. He's got the vest on. He's got the press pass. Got the big, long telephoto lens. Everything. Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah.
Just on the field. Work in the game.
I've seen that he's gotten into photography.
And just like his former teammate, Randy Johnson. Randy Johnson has a photography page.
Yeah.
He also does it.
I think Randy Johnson has gotten some big time photos published, like at sporting events, not because he's Randy Johnson, but because the photo just, you know, you go watch, you go to ESPN.com, you go look at the photo they have up there. It'll say, you know, whoever took the photo, their name and what outlet they're with. Randy Johnson's had bylines that have been, you know, front page photos. He does a very good job with that stuff.
He has, I forget the website. If you just type into Google Randy Johnson photography, you'll come upon it. But the logo that he has on his website is an upside down dead bird, which I approve
which
of.
Which is wonderful.
All right, segment's not a segment. Yikes. Is next. Common Man and T-Bone on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza, home of the Grandview Browns backers.
Looking out for just a little bit of stop-and-go traffic in the area right now. 670 westbound between Grandview Avenue and I-70. Could slow you down just a couple of minutes through that area right now. Be a little bit cautious there. This report is sponsored by Buffalo Wild Wings from 3 to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, Buffalo Wild Wings happy hour has beer, cocktails, bar food for only $3 to $6. It's the perfect way to offset a long day. So head to Buffalo Wild Wings for happy hour today. Valid on participating locations. While supplies last, dine in only. Drink responsibly. I'm Adam Zellick for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Common Man here for Care Heating and Cooling. Can I tell you a secret? One of my joys in life is a good clean out. Once in a blue moon, I will take it to the next level. I have an air vent right over the toilet. So when I know a wild ride is coming, I'll turn down the AC a few minutes before it's go time. And then when I sit down, beautiful cold air greets me, blowing in my face as I do the deed. And the only people I trust to keep my crapper temp in tip-top shape, that's Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
Just be glad you aren't as stupid as these two.
Oh, yes.
This is Common Man and T-Bone.
Happy Monday. Yikes. Is coming up in mere moments. Hey, tonight on The Fan, Buckeye Roundtable, 2 big hours of conversation. Buckeyes are on the bye, but the show is not on the bye. By the bye. Hmm. Skip Mossick, Paul Keels, Jim Lachey from 6 to 8. Then at 8 o'clock, it is the Bengals and the Rams. Will Joe Burrow play? Who the hell knows? Catch all the action right here on The Fan. All right, yikes time. Anyone who watched the Jets and the Patriots yesterday probably felt like they were punched in the junk. But for Jets corner Sauce Gardner, he says he actually was. So according to Sauce, Mac Jones was on the ground, reached his arm up to get assistance getting up. Sauce did not want to help, but he moved his hand out of the way instead. So Mac got up, presumably pissed that Sauce didn't help him up, walked over, and slapped him in the sacky. Yikes. Sources say the league is looking into the incident. This is not the first time Mac Jones has been accused of sack play. Last season, he slid with his cleats up, landed them in Bears safety Jaquan Brisker's nether regions. Yikes!
My first yikes goes out to Auburn head coach and guy I can't stand, Hugh Freeze, who just saw his team lose to Texas A&M 27-10, so that's not great. But Auburn now has a big task this weekend. They take on the number one ranked team in the country, Georgia. They are hosting this game, so maybe a war eagle is in order. Maybe they'll pull the upset. Hugh Freeze, though, was asked about the rivalry, and he said, quote, "We should compete out of love for our people, not out of hate for other people." Mm-hmm. Now, that's a fine sentiment in many walks of life, but when you're talking about college football, and you're talking about the rivalry game or a rivalry game or a big game against two SEC opponents, I'm going to guess in the locker room that message is different, but if it's not, Georgia by a million. And also, yikes.
Here's a fun baseball stat for you. The last 348 times a team was up by a score of 9-0 after three innings, they won the game. Well, that was until the Reds went up 9-0 on the Pirates after three innings on Saturday. The Pirates rallied and beat the Reds 13-12. Yikes. It's the largest comeback in the history of the Pirates franchise. Yikes. And it's the largest blown lead and a loss in Reds franchise history. Yikes.
Reds haven't been around very long, though.
No, neither have the Pirates either.
That's right, yeah.
Dolphins put up 70 points on the Broncos yesterday. Yikes. It was the most points scored since Washington scored 72 against the Giants in 1966. Yikes. The Dolphins racked up 350 rushing yards and 376 passing yards for a grand total of 726 yards. Yikes! They're the first team in history to record 5 passing touchdowns and 5 rushing touchdowns in the same game. Yikes! And they averaged a ridiculous 10.2 yards per play for an NFL game. Yikes!
Mike, I'd love to believe that the cost of food is out of hand. We've seen it plenty of times at restaurants we've been to. New York Times columnist David Brooks decided to hop onto that trend. He tweeted out a photo over the weekend that went viral. It was a picture of a half-eaten hamburger, some fries, and a drink. And he said, this meal cost me $78 at Newark Airport. Now, it is a typical burger fries type of meal on a little paper, you know, sheet that comes in a basket. You've seen this at a million Americana food stops. Apparently, the restaurant in question in the Newark Airport is the 1911 Smokehouse Barbecue, who then, in response, tweeted out a picture of their menu and said, this burger and fry combo costs $16. So the other, whatever that would be left over is coming from presumably what was in his glass. And what appeared to be in his glass was some kind of very fine spirit of some
all drinky.
Yeah. The restaurant said a double is like $28 at their airport lounge. Let them live. Yikes. So maybe if David Brooks had 2 doubles and then this burger meal, maybe that would get it to $78. But as much as I agree, cost of food is high. It ain't that high, David Brooks. Be honest. Yikes.
The Brewers, they clinched the NL Central Division on Saturday, and they also made some other baseball history with their 16-1 win over the Marlins. Brewers first baseman Rowdy Tellez, he closed out the game for the Brewers on the mound. Over the last 120 years, only one position player pitched the final inning of a game on the day their team clinched a playoff spot. That man, it's Rowdy Tellez. Yikes!
City of Los Angeles, known for police chases. Well, they had another one last night, except this one was 15 miles an hour in a stolen golf cart. Yikes. Shockingly, the man driving the cart was barefoot, shirtless, and had a dog in his lap. Like most chases, this one was filmed live via helicopter and broadcast on local television. The police eventually stopped him after he pulled into a parking lot, tried to make a run for it while carrying the dog. He didn't get far.
Oh, shocking.
Yikes.
My final yikes involves, I was in this yikes while we were driving home from Alabama, went to a music festival over the weekend. On the way back on Saturday, we noticed that the I-65, where we were near the Alabama-Tennessee border, there was a big fire on the other side of the road. We thought that doesn't look good. And we saw the traffic had been slowed down. Turned out we now found out why. There was fire lit all across like the grass right next to the freeway, like someone had done it on purpose is what it kind of looked like. And then we thought maybe it's a forest fire. We weren't sure what it was. Turned out a motorhome had lost one of the wheels on its trailer. The wheel, though, stayed attached. It just deflated. The tire did. The wheel hung on and was dragged behind the trailer going 70 miles an hour.
But then they stopped and they realized there was no wheel there?
Apparently not for a few miles, because they said about 5 miles of road was impacted, where the sparks flew into the very dry grass next to the road that ignited some of the grass that then kept going in the heat, and the fire raged. And so we saw pillars of smoke and everything else. We finally looked it up and found out what it was. But yeah, thankfully everybody was okay, it appears. No injuries or deaths or anything like that, but still, scary situation. Yikes.
The Crew, they tied Dallas 1-1 on Saturday, and I saw this interesting stat, and I couldn't believe it, but the Crew, they're now winless in their past 26 away matches against Western Conference opponents. Yikes. They have 16 draws and 10 losses dating back to 2017. Yikes. It's also been nearly a decade since the Crew's last win in Texas. They won at Dallas in 2013. Yikes.
What the hell's going on with the Western Conference? The Crew.
I'm not making any excuses. I know that they are bad on the road. They have, like, this is going back multiple regimes. They have not been great on the road. Also, when they play in Texas, it usually is in the summer and it is extremely hot. That's not an excuse. That's just a fact. But I don't know what causes that, other than the other thing with soccer is you have to remember there are wins, losses, and ties. So Teddy, did you say the number of ties they've had versus losses?
16 to 10 losses. So they play well, I mean, but they just can't get a win.
Right. It's not all like they're just losing all these games, but they're also not getting a win in like 8 years, 7 years. That's not good. This is clearly an issue that needs to be addressed.
All right. So next time the crew go on the road to play a Western Conference team, what we need to do is get Lou Holtz to say they're soft. Then they'll go out there and take care of business.
I agree with you. Lou Holtz is apparently the best motivator we have in the city of Columbus when it comes to getting the best performances out of these teams.
Penn State week? Let's call Lou Holtz. Hey. Ryan Day also, this is the life of a coach. It's unknown if he'll be available to come on Buckeye Roundtable tonight because he's traveling. I guarantee you he's not going on vacation with the family.
No.
He's going campaigning for 5 stars.
I was going to say, he's visiting someone's family.
Not his.
And guess what else he's got going with him? Nice little Ted DiBiase. Got the little handcuff on the briefcase.
Some money.
Cash.
Money.
I mean, maybe not physical money, but the promise of money, certainly.
All right. More NFL stuff. I think Katy Perry went to a pickleball game yesterday. We'll talk about it. Common Man and T-Bone on the Fan.
Fan Traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza, home of the Grandview Browns backers.
We're currently looking out for an accident just reported in the area. I-70 eastbound at Livingston Avenue and US 33, the left lane blocked there, causing stop-and-go traffic. Also blocking the beginning of the I-70 eastbound ramp to Livingston Avenue. Emergency crews on the scene, about a 10-minute delay. This report is sponsored by Medical Mutual, your hometown Medicare insurer. Medical Mutual has Medicare Advantage plans that offer friendly, Ohio-based customer service. Visit medmutual.com/OhioMedicare to learn more. Medical Mutual, your hometown Medicare insurer. I'm Adam Zellick for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Common Man here for Care Heating and Cooling. I'm a big fan of preventative maintenance. Something will eventually go wrong, and if you're not prepared, it is sure to cost you money. That's why I want you to sign up for a care plan. My guys at Care make sure your heater and AC are running in tip-top shape, taking care of maintenance and staying on top of any potential issues. Surprises suck. Be prepared with a care plan. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
Their BMI is higher than their IQ. This is Common Man and T-Bone.
Hey, sports gambling is legal in the state of Ohio, and we encourage you to go where we go for our gambling needs. And that's Hollywood Casino Columbus. They have a 12,000-square-foot Barstool Sportsbook. One week ago today,
yes,
we were broadcasting live from there. And we will be again soon. Soon.
Mm-hmm.
Soon. Stay tuned for details.
Go ahead.
Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I was just going to say, I can't believe that's only been a week ago. It seems like a longer time than that. But we'll do it again soon.
Buckeyes beat Notre Dame 17-14. We will do more Buckeyes coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Football from yesterday. Colts go to Baltimore, win in overtime. I don't know how. I don't think they know how either. Raven and Lamar Jackson said after the game, we had plenty of opportunities to win that game. Yes, you did. And you didn't.
Well, and I think, too, it's, I don't know. I think you've got to try to, if you're John Harbaugh at some point, too, don't you have to try to call a game plan? I know it's not his offense necessarily, but don't you have to put your team in a position where you're saying, hey, guys, we don't want to just try to play for a field goal here to win this game. Like, you actually have to try to move the football a little bit better than they did. And I don't think that's being talked about enough with this team when you have Lamar Jackson. I know he doesn't call the plays, but he's in charge of the guys who do, and that's got to be better.
Packers were down 17 in the fourth quarter to the Saints. They scored 18 in that quarter to beat the Saints, 18-14. Your guy Derek Carr had to leave with a shoulder injury, so yeah. Jameis Winston came in and sucked.
Yeah, suddenly the Saints weren't very good once it wasn't Derek Carr. Also, did I see this right? Teddy, I don't know if you can confirm, or Mike, maybe you saw it. This was the largest fourth quarter comeback in Packers franchise history.
Is that right?
I think so. No. I thought I saw that last night when I was watching some of the NFL Network
franchise
coverage.
That's been around for a while.
Right. I'm saying it's not that wasn't an impressive comeback. It wasn't three touchdowns. It was, 17-point deficit. That's still big. It's not easy to do, but I'm surprised the Packers have never done it in their entire history.
Vikings are 0-3 after losing to the Chargers. Vikings are bad, right?
Yeah, we could have a discussion about at 0-3. Is that fair to look at them and say they have just been decimated in all these games? No, they've been close in all these games. But go ask Nebraska about what that matters, right? At some point, you have to figure out how to win these games that you're close in, and they have not done it this year.
They're bad. I will say this, though. You know, that was a desperate game because both teams were winless. They needed a win. And the Chargers got themselves a win. However, Brandon Staley could be the dumbest coach in the NFL. I don't know how. First of all, he gets me and Terry Bradshaw to agree on something. Terry Bradshaw said after the game, I couldn't play for this guy.
Oh,
he couldn't coach for me. He's an idiot.
Yeah.
And he is. I mean, they won that game, but he is an idiot.
I don't understand how that is. I just don't understand how that's tolerated. Right. I mean, because it's not like this is the first time he's been dumb. And it's not like he wasn't dumb last year, too. This is I don't understand it, but I'm guessing that we'll get to see more and more opportunities of him being stupid.
Well, yeah, if they don't make the playoffs this year, it won't be tolerated. Well, they'll get fired.
Enough. Yeah.
Dolphins put up 70. On the Broncos. 70 points. I did the yikes. Where's my thing? I told you all the yards and all. I mean, we're talking about 750 yards total offense. This is an NFL game. This is not the Buckeyes playing an FCS team. That offense through the first 3 weeks of the season, clearly best offense in the NFL. Tua's healthy. He's doing things. Even without Waddle yesterday, Tyreek Hill's running all over the field. Punching out marina workers in his spare time. Just excellent play from Mike McDaniel in that offense. However, that Bronco defense, collectively, I have never seen a team play so badly on defense for an entire game. Embarrassing.
No, it's unreal, man. And there's a ton of questions that need to be asked, and I'm sure they are in Denver today. And, you know, you thought maybe if you're a Broncos fan that this is all right. We're going to get things fixed. We got a Super Bowl winner coming in here to coach the team. Nothing is fixed. You're as awful as anyone in the league. And I guess the only good news coming for you is you get to play your Bears.
Oh.
That game next week is going to be disastrous. Can I give you one thing before we get to your Bears?
What?
This is a nice little story. I met a guy at this music festival Friday. We're at this concert. We're talking. We're both there to see certain bands. We're having a good time. This guy said, yeah, I just turned 40. I said, oh, well, happy birthday. He goes, it's actually my birthday weekend. Today I'm at this concert. Tomorrow I'm catching a flight down to Miami because I am a Dolphins fan.
Nice.
And I am going to go for my 40th birthday weekend to my favorite band and then to my favorite football
team.
You
had a hell of a weekend.
And I thought about that guy yesterday as I'm watching this game, and I'm like, that guy had perhaps the best weekend of his life. If he got to see one of his favorite bands and then goes down to the Dolphins. And did you see that? Saw the most points an NFL team has ever put up since the 60s. And it was on his birthday, his favorite team. Let that guy live. I don't even know his name, but happy for that dude.
Jets offense bad. They lose to the Patriots. Zach Wilson's just terrible. Awful. I mean, I remember once upon a time where I said that I saw something in Zach Wilson?
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
There was like a glimmer of something where I said, I think Zach Wilson could be good. Guess what? That was the one day I dropped acid.
That's the only explanation for it. You saw visions and dreams that you've never had since. Well, I wouldn't hammer you too much on that. We've all had dumb predictions on this show.
No, but
yeah,
please hammer me.
That's he is no good. And you can tell, I mean, Garrett Wilson is trying his best to keep it
together. They were yelling at each other on the sideline yesterday.
There's going to be a lot of that because Garrett Wilson knows it's not good. What's their streak? The Jets now, it's like 13 or 15 in a row. They've dropped the Patriots.
15, I think.
Awful number like
ridiculous.
That. And he had the quote Garrett Wilson did before the game saying, you know, not this time. We got to change that. Well, it didn't change yesterday. Could have. I mean, you were close enough that just one score could have changed that game, but you don't have that guy playing quarterback for you anymore. I don't know that Aaron Rodgers would have been that guy, but Zach Wilson is not that guy.
Texans and CJ Stroud took it to the Jags.
I was fairly surprised by that.
I was shocked by that because, you know, that's a team that won their division last year. They had some playoff success playing at home. The news on CJ Stroud all week was that his shoulder was fatigued. You know, who the hell knew what type of player he was going to be on Sunday? Turns out pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah. This is a very good development for him. And while the Texans, that's a nice surprising win for them. I think the bigger story, other than for us Buckeye fans, CJ Stroud feeling good about that. What is going on exactly with Jacksonville?
I don't know, because it looks like their team is a mess. And if you listen to the rumblings down there, it looks like they're fixing to move.
Again. No, I'm saying like the rumblings every other year are like, oh, no. Now they're going to go to England.
Right. But I guess there was this levy. I don't know what the official term is for public money to go and improve their stadium. And I think it was like 6% of people voted for it.
Oh, gosh.
It was nothing.
Wow.
And so now the team president's coming out saying, you know what? I mean, hey, it's, let me tell you, if Jacksonville loses a team, you're never getting another one.
Okay. Well, that almost seems like the Jacksonville folks are saying, yeah, we got it. We are aware. We don't care. We're not paying for it. If you want to stay here, then you can pay for
it. Maybe they care, but they don't want to pay for it.
Let's be clear. Let's not confuse. Don't want to pay for it. We're the fans. We already pay for season tickets and everything else with the city doesn't want it. City may want it. They just may not want the bill that Jacksonville's trying to stick them with it.
All right, more Buckeye talk, plus my stupid team, the Bears against the Chiefs and Taylor Swift and how I took rubbing alcohol and shoved it in my eye. That's all next. Common Man and T-Bone on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza, home of the Grandview Browns backers.
We're still looking out for an accident in the area. I-70 eastbound at Livingston Avenue and US 33. Left lane currently blocked there, causing some stop-and-go traffic. It's also blocking the left berm at the beginning of the I-70 eastbound ramp to Livingston Avenue. Police are on the scene, currently about a 10-minute delay. This report is sponsored by eBay Motors. You do anything to keep your vehicle happy. Let's make sure it stays running smoothly with eBay Guaranteed Fit. The right parts are just a click away. When you see the green check, you know that part will fit. Get the right parts at the right prices. ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. I'm Adam Zellick for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Oh, hello. I was talking to my annoying friend, Duchess Kumquat. She was retelling a very dramatic story about how her and Lord Beaverqueef were stuck sleeping in a very hot room because their janky air conditioning unit took a crapola. They were so hot and sweaty, it took them out of the mood for getting hot and sweaty. Don't be like Kumquat and Beaverqueef. Call my friends at Care Heating and Cooling. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company Beaverqueef can trust.
Extra large, extra stupid. This is Man and Bone.
Happy Monday. It is Reaction Monday. Buckeyes beat Notre Dame 17-14. We'll talk more about that in a second. My stupid football team, professional stupid football team, the Chicago Bears yesterday went to Arrowhead, crapped all over themselves, as I expect them to do. Let's recap the week for the Chicago Bears.
All right, let's do that.
So you have Justin Fields, first of all, bad.
Bad team,
everything, whatever. Justin Fields looks like crap. He talks to the media this week, essentially says, yeah, I'm bad because my coaching's bad.
I'm going to do my own thing.
Right. He walked that back, but everybody heard what he said, and everybody knew what he meant. Okay? I'm bad because my coaches are bad. You're going to see me do my own thing. You'll see it on Sunday. Great. Also, Alan Williams, the Bears' defensive coordinator, resigns in the middle of the week. You know, that happens all the time during the regular season where one of your coordinators just says, I quit.
3 games into the season, not even, right? That's also kind of weird.
There were rumblings that, you know, police raided his house and perhaps police even raided Hallis Hall. Came out yesterday. The reports say there was no criminal activity, but there definitely was inappropriate activity. And HR was involved inside Hallis Hall.
I don't know what that specific situation would be where it requires the police to go, we need to investigate this. And then they come out and go, yeah, not a crime, but what a creepy dude. You know, like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There, if it's that creepy that even the police are like, that's creepy, but it's not a criminal. it's just got to be such a weird little carve out of whatever this was that happened. But it's enough that he lost his job over it, right?
That's not even the cherry on top. The cherry on top was that people broke into Soldier Field last week and stole $100,000 worth of equipment. So then they go to Kansas City.
What a stupid franchise.
They go to Kansas City, and they're just awful. Can't do anything. Offensively, defensively, the Chiefs are like, it's like playing a video game.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to Taylor Swift in a second. But then this whole thing, Justin Fields looks like trash, as I expected him to. In the second half, though, he gets hit. He's woozy. They take him off. At this point, it is a 38-point game.
At this point,
you're losing by 38.
All the channels that are not based in either Kansas City or Chicago have taken the other afternoon game because this game is so out of hand.
Yes, and I don't blame them.
Like, here locally that happened where they switched it over to the Cowboys and Cardinals, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. And so Justin Fields is woozy for some reason in a 38-point game. Matt Eberflus puts him back in there. And he's playing out the string.
Why?
You got him and DJ Moore and the rest of the first teamers out there playing out the string. And after the game, the Flus, Matt Eberflus, is asked, what the hell are you putting him back out there for? He was woozy, right? Well, he was cleared, wasn't he? He was cleared. He's going out there to play. Well, that's just stupid. You're all stupid. Well, I hated everything.
Also, if this was a game where it's 3 points, he's been playing awesome, and then he gets woozy, but then you have a chance to go out and win the game, yes, and they do give you the clearance on your quarterback.
But
maybe
you
have
don't.
A crisis of conscience or something, but you say, hey, that he's cleared. Let's go win the game. This is not that situation at all.
No, embarrassing on the field. The broadcast was nauseating, too. Because did you hear that Taylor Swift was there?
Only 1,000 times.
Oh, my God. Look, I was yearning for the days of Laura Quinn in the split jersey. Remember, we thought that was too much press?
Well, I mean, she was sitting next to the current queen of the split jersey, right? Mama Kelsey was there. That's who she was sitting next to, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes,
that's right. And that's, I liked that a little bit more. That was a Super Bowl. That was a fine story. But I'm just saying, Taylor Swift is the biggest celebrity
in the world, probably.
I mean, certainly in our culture, in America, she's been having this humongous tour where people are, you know, doing everything they can to get these tickets. They cost $1 million to get in, all this stuff. It's ridiculous. She's selling out football stadiums 3-4 times a week and then going on.
Do we, after we see it the first time?
Well, right.
Do we need to keep seeing it?
I think the part that for me gets annoying is it's one thing to mention she's here. It's another thing to mention she seems to be enjoying herself. It's yet another thing to say, here's just, we're going to break. Here's Taylor Swift.
I don't know why.
Like, I got it. I know she's a draw. I know she's a big deal. You're the NFL.
Like, these television directors, they think that everybody cares. Nobody cares.
Well, you know who cares?
Who cares?
My wife is not going to watch a random Chiefs-Bears blowout, but when the game was on and she sees that Taylor Swift is on the screen, she's going to sit around for a few more minutes.
All right, fine.
If you're flipping and you don't watch the NFL at all and you see Taylor Swift, maybe you stick around for a few minutes. But again, why? Like, you're annoying the rest of your fan base by doing that. And also, I get it. There's a lot of people who like football who also like Taylor Swift. I like Taylor Swift. She has great songs. She has great music. I don't think that is the only thing that we should be focusing on in a game. And it does feel like that became the focus of this game. Maybe if it was a competitive football game, maybe they wouldn't have had as much opportunity for that.
Maybe. You're right.
But still, that was about the only thing they had going on.
A competitive football game.
No. It was terrible.
If I'm Greg Olson, too, maybe you don't have any pull. Don't you get on your headset to your producer and say, hey, knock it off.
Yeah, we got it. Can we show the football game?
I understand. We could tell stories about how bad this Bears team is. It reminded me, it wasn't as excessive as it was yesterday. But when Brian Urlacher, for like 2 seconds, was seeing Paris Hilton.
Oh, gosh.
And Paris Hilton went to a Bear game. They were obsessed with that.
Yeah, that's fair. I will say, if you're going to do this, you need to go one of two ways. At some point after the first quarter where you've shown her a million times, either go completely off of Taylor Swift and say, now back to the football game, or lean the other way once it's clear this game's out of hand and just say, we're not going to show you the football game, folks, but please gaze upon Taylor Swift. As you can see now, she's eating a Triscuit. Oh, looks like she's gotten up and she's returned to her seat. All right, now she's talking to a gentleman who Albert Breer is going to confuse for a former NBA player in mere moments. All right, and we're back to Taylor Swift. Oh, she seems to be paying attention to the game.
Look, we always do alternate broadcasts. Put it on FS1.
Yeah.
The Taylor Swift cam.
Only Taylor Swift, then, if that's what we're going to do.
By the way, Taylor Swift, too. Again, biggest pop star in the world. She could buy and sell you and me a million trillion times over.
I wish she would, by the way.
Fine.
Please buy and sell me as much as you want, Taylor Swift.
But if aliens came down on this planet and didn't know anything about anything, and you tried to explain the act of clapping to them, I think they would get a better hang of it than Taylor Swift. It was like someone said, all right, Taylor, here's what you do. Oh, you never clapped before? You take your hands and you bash them together. I like this! No, not like that!
No.
She's the worst clapper of all time!
It's very interesting because you would think, being a musician, I mean, there are times where you do clap when you're singing to the beat.
It was
right?
like you the concept the was foreign to her. She didn't know how to clap.
Could it be, though? I'm trying to think of why she would be bad at clapping, and here's a theory. We've had this with former athletes, too. Sometimes you talk to former players, and you're like, hey, man, did you watch this game? Who are you rooting for? And they're like, rooting? I don't know if you know this. I played the sport. I don't root. I have friends who play on both teams. I understand the ins. I'm watching just for the purity of the game.
So you don't think she's ever been someplace where she has to clap?
Well, I'm saying, I mean, since she's been like, what, 15 or something, she was writing songs
yeah.
for big time artists. And then she's been a big time artist for like 20 years now or close to it. I'm just saying, maybe she hasn't had an opportunity to work out. I had to figure out how to clap. We all did at some point because we were the ones on stage. She's been on stage during her clapping formative years, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe she's improved, too. Maybe the first couple times it was just her elbows. Smacking her elbows together. No, Taylor, it's your Dude, palms.
By the way, I just thought of this, too. I don't know if I didn't see enough of it to know if she like held anything in her hands at any point. But, you know, you go, if you've never been to a suite, which we have been to stuff like this because of our jobs being here, we get to do that occasionally. They have whatever they have in there. Some beer, some wine, some other alcohols and some non-alcoholic beverages. Right. And then sometimes they have snacks. They have other things. I don't know what's in the suite that Taylor Swift gets into.
I'm sure all of it.
Right.
They have all of it.
What I'm saying is, you imagine being at a football game, trying to live as a human for a minute where you, even in her human moments, she's dating an NFL player. Apparently they're an item, I guess.
I don't know.
Whatever.
Whatever.
But all the cameras are on you. You go to the fridge and maybe you grab, I don't know, like a light beer out of there or a seltzer or whatever she likes to drink. She grabs a can of it. And then one of her PR people probably has to tap her on the shoulder and be like, Taylor, you can't drink that on camera. You're all over the camera. If you sit down with that in your hand, like their stock is going to go up 12%.
You know what I would do?
Like, I'm just saying.
If I were her, I'd have fun with it. I'd say, you know what I'm going to do today? Watch. Like Ryan Day said after the post game.
Yeah, watch
like,
this.
Watch this. Taylor Swift said, watch this. And then she sits down at a Chiefs game and she's drinking a Yoo-Hoo.
Oh, sure.
You know? Or all of a sudden, Yoo-Hoo skyrockets.
You're right. She should have snuck in a Jolt Cola
and
just started sipping one of those.
I would actually test the power.
Everyone goes out and is like screaming at their Giant Eagle representative, like, where's your Jolt Cola? They're like, we don't know what you're talking about. And they're like, Jolt, damn you. And you're like, I can't get it. We're sold out in 2 seconds.
She's just there eating a bowl of Frankenberry.
This is seasonal.
Oh,
now that's the flex. If I were a celebrity as big as Taylor Swift, for sure, I'm going to the game with a Shamrock Shake.
Well, yes, yeah.
It's September.
You got a McRib.
You guys are all at Shamrock Shake.
You get pumpkin
spice latte. I'm still drinking I'm getting a shake from February.
Oh my God, Taylor Swift. We got to get them back in stock.
Yeah, right. What else do we want her to bring? I would pay money if I knew that I could get Taylor Swift to endorse products that would then make the entire world just go, oh, we have to bring that back. What I would do, like, defunct candy bars.
What if she just holds up an 8x10 glossy of Tom Brenneman?
My favorite.
I forgive him. So should you.
Next week he's doing games.
Next week.
Burkhart's gone.
And actually, that would be on ESPN. It'd be like Troy Aikman's like, well, guys, I don't know what happened to Joe Buck, but I guess Tom's
here,
right?
Taylor Swift is right with Tom. So what are you going
to
do?
He doesn't even go back to Fox. He just goes and takes Joe Buck's job.
Notre Dame head coach Marcus Freeman has a plan for the next time he's stupid. Details next. Common Man and T-Bone on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza, home of the Grandview Browns backers.
We currently have an accident causing big delays in the area. I-70 westbound before State Route 256. Their left lane blocked, causing stop and go traffic. That's about a 43-minute delay right now, so traffic really backing up through that area. Going to have to be patient there. This report sponsored by Medical Mutual, your hometown Medicare insurer. Medical Mutual has Medicare Advantage plans that offer friendly Ohio-based customer service. Visit medmutual.com/OhioMedicare to learn more. Medical Mutual, your hometown Medicare insurer.
Common Man here for Care, Heating, and Cooling. Can I tell you a secret? One of my joys in life is a good clean-out. Once in a blue moon, I will take it to the next level. I have an air vent right over the toilet. So when I know a wild ride is coming, I'll turn down the AC a few minutes before it's go time. And then when I sit down, beautiful cold air greets me, blowing in my face. as I do the deed. And the only people I trust to keep my crapper temp in tip-top shape, that's Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
Dumb. Very dumb. This is Man and Bone.
Happy Monday. Happy Reaction Monday. Buckeyes with a big victory against Notre Dame, 17-14. We got football tonight. Bengals and Rams, 8 o'clock right here on the Fan. The latest is that Joe Burrow is not out on the field warming up. They are not ruling him out for this game. They say it's going to be a true game time decision. The latest I saw was that A.J. McCarron was out on the field. They signed him a couple days ago. So he's warming up.
Yeah.
Reed, what is his name? Reed Sinet? Is that
Yeah, I think you're right.
He's out there too.
So Laura Rutledge from ESPN had this, said that Zach Taylor said that, quote, about Joe Burrow's status, "We aren't ready to reveal a decision just yet, and we'll wait a couple more hours before we make a call." Well, those are two different things, aren't they? We aren't ready to reveal a decision, and we'll wait before we make the call. Are they saying that, maybe I'm reading too much into that, maybe they haven't made the decision, they're not going to reveal it because there isn't one, but if they've made a decision, then they're just not telling us. That is different than, we're going to keep thinking about it and then make a choice later.
Yeah.
I would say if I'm guessing on the outside looking in, signs don't point to him playing.
I don't think he's going to play.
Right. That would just be, maybe I'm wrong. It doesn't seem likely based on what we're seeing as of right now. But
and then watch those lines, man. They're going to move. When this game first hit, I think Bengals were favored by 6. And that was, I think, before the season, actually.
Oh, was it? Okay.
They were favored by 6.
I mean,
and then that line has fallen.
I was going to say, I wouldn't be surprised the Rams are favored in this game.
Well,
I know it's on the road.
They could be. The last time I checked before the show, now again, this is 3 o'clock, it was 3. Bengals are favored by 3.
I'm still seeing the line shows at 3.
All right.
So, being Bengals favored by 3. So, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of surprised. I would think if Joe Burrow's not playing, the Rams would become the favorite in this game. But
well, the other side of that is, you know, I know the Bengals are the Bengals, and they've had success the last couple of years, and Joe Burrow, when healthy, is one hell of a quarterback, but through the first 2 games of the season, they have been the worst offense in the NFL.
Yeah, it's not like they've been really, really good and just unlucky and didn't win some games. I mean, the Vikings we talked about are, what, 0-3 now?
Yeah.
But are they completely inept on offense?
I hate them.
Okay. They might be, they're bad. I'm just saying they are still able to move the ball and score points. The Bengals offense through 2 games has been worse than that.
Yeah, terrible.
So one of those games, of course, they went up against the Browns defense, which is apparently the best defense in the history of ever. And I'm thrilled about that development. But still, Bengals tonight, no Joe Burrow. That does not, if that is what happens, that is not encouraging.
Who did the Rams play in week 1?
Oh, and they
It was Geno Smith. It was Geno Smith and the Seahawks, where it went viral when Geno Smith saw Aaron Donald running for him and just said, "Oh my God, you don't think Joe Burrow's going to be thinking about that?"
Yeah. Oh, totally. And he also, I mean, that I liked it too because it sounded like someone who's maybe trying to bust tables at a restaurant or do something like that, and then someone drops a plate of food and he's like, "Oh my God," and he's trying to catch it. It's like, "Oh crap, like I'm at work and something unexpected is happening to me and I got to get rid of this football immediately." That was, I related to that level of terror because I too have had jobs where I'm like, "I didn't expect this today. No, thank you. I don't want that."
Notre Dame head coach Marcus Freeman says he has a plan for the next time there's only 10 guys on the field, which happened the last 2 plays of the game. Not just the Chip Traynham run where the Buckeyes won the game on the final play. The play before that.
Yeah, the pass.
Notre Dame only had 10 guys on the field. Marcus Freeman said after the game that it was on him. Yeah, no kidding.
Well, it was after a timeout, too.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
There was a timeout. You came out with 10 guys and then had another play run and still had 10 guys.
He said they have a plan moving forward. The plan should be to never let that happen again. But if it does happen again and the coaching staff is stupid, he has instructed his players to just draw contact, get the penalty, go off sides, and then, you know, you move the ball, what?
Well,
half an inch in that situation?
Because I think he had a quote right after the game where he said something about, like, didn't want to take a penalty there once we saw we were, you know, misaligned or whatever. And it's like, a penalty.
You have to take
a penalty.
What does
it matter? Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Because the clock was stopped. you would have essentially a chance to run a play, and then now you run it from, instead of the inch line, you'd run it from the half inch line, so or whatever
move,
it was.
You move all half an inch, and that isn't worth having an extra defender on the field?
I think it was just, and then today he has said that he was not aware that that was the case. So I don't remember if that's...
Wasn't aware that what was the case?
That they didn't have all the guys out there.
Well, how... Okay.
So I think that's changed from what we heard after the game, if I'm not mistaken.
All right. I don't know how you're not aware when it happens two plays in a row.
Well, right. I think it was a situation where they at first were not aware of it, and then when they became aware of it, said, well, what can we do now? We don't want to take a penalty, which I would have taken a penalty and said, that's fine. It doesn't matter. There's no thing to do. Now, here is the problem, though.
What?
If you just send a guy in off the sidelines, that is not what you would want to do in that situation. Because let's say you send the guy out there, and Ohio State sees that and snaps the football. Then they throw the flag, but the play does not stop. You are still playing 10 on 11. And now if Ohio State doesn't convert, they would be able to run the play. They could run that play.
Untimed down.
So on that one, I get if he's saying, I didn't want to send a guy in
to do
that.
That. But he said, go offside.
Yes. Well, that's why he's saying now they're going to coach the guys to know in that situation, if we give you a hand signal, hey, we can't sub here, but.
Why don't you coach your defensive coaches to get the right personnel on the field?
Well,
do that, idiot.
True enough. And I believe he is one of those defensive coaches, if I'm not mistaken.
He is the defensive coach.
Right. So, I mean, it does. Yes, a lot of it falls on him.
Now, we have not talked. We talked a lot about this game. We have not talked a ton about Kyle McCord and how we feel about him after this game. Obviously, sure. He's very pumped up. He was, you know, yelling at the crowd afterwards, which I don't have a problem with. I mean, he's pumped up. He's ready to go. He went over to Lou Holtz's house and crapped on the lawn.
And Ryan Day was already there.
Oh, Coach, fancy seeing you here.
Poor Jerry Emig is like, please, Ryan, we got to go. Like, this is, and he's like, I know, I am going. He's like, no, I mean, we got to leave.
But I don't know if there's been a bigger swing for me all within two plays. Because you remember that intentional grounding call.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Where... You knew they were going to drop the flag. At least I did.
I tended to think that, yeah, you know, when I saw it.
Intentional grounding call. It backs you up to what? The 22-yard line. So it's third down and 19. And I'm thinking to myself, I hate this guy. What is this guy doing? Can't react to the pressure. You got to know what's going on in that situation. You can't take that loss of down.
Right.
You can't take that yardage there. You can't do it. I'm frustrated. I'm walking away from the TV. Very next pass, third down and 19. Trusted his instincts. And I think that's what Kyle McCord maybe learned the most from this game, is not to think too much. Trusted his instincts, 21-yard pass to Ibuka. Yeah, by the way, last year, he was also the man in this game against Notre Dame.
Yep. He's phenomenal. And I think... Yes, Kyle McCord deserves a lot of credit for making these throws, and they were some really good throws. But
that was a hell of a throw.
It was.
That one on third and 19 was a hell of a throw.
But also, how many times do we see these throws where he squeezes it into a tight window, and then Emeka Ibuka, and him too.
Him too.
Yeah. He can make the play. Emeka Ibuka makes the play that ultimately not many guys in college football can make. Some of the catches he is making are things that, yeah, you have Marvin Harrison Jr., so you sometimes lose track of how good he is also, but we shouldn't. And we should know that you can make the great throw, but if your receiver can't hang on to it in traffic with the concentration, it doesn't matter how good your throw is. So Kyle McCord deserves credit, and he is growing, and that is a good sign. It is also a good sign that you have at least two All-Americans, in my mind, that he can throw to, and possibly more in the wings that are on their way up. But, yeah, you've got some talent there, wide receiver, and it came through in that fourth quarter.
And I think Cade Stover played a hell of a game, too.
God, yeah.
Especially early in that game.
He was one of the few things we had going.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, if you didn't have that in the first quarter, it's not like they were scoring any points. They didn't score any, but you needed something to give your offense at least a little bit of confidence. And he was able to at least provide a few sparks throughout that got them to a point where they finally got to get on track.
Coaches are geniuses. Details next. Common Man and T-Bone on the Fan.
Fan Traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza, home of the Grandview Browns backers.
We currently have an accident causing pretty big delays in the area. I-70 westbound before State Route 256. The left lane blocked there, causing stop-and-go traffic backing up quite a bit, about a 37-minute delay. This report is sponsored by Ohio Laborers and Ohio Lesset. Ohio Laborers would like to congratulate Member of the Week, Louise Fuller, Laborers Local 500 Toledo. Louis is a 5-year member working for Neuter BP Refinery. Build Ohio right, build it union. I'm Adam Zellick for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
Common Man here for Care Heating and Cooling. I'm a big fan of preventative maintenance. Something will eventually go wrong, and if you're not prepared, it is sure to cost you money. That's why I want you to sign up for a care plan. My guys at Care make sure your heater and AC are running in tip-top shape, taking care of maintenance and staying on top of any potential issues. Surprises suck. Be prepared with a care plan. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust.
Back when I was banging, this show slapped. Whatever the hell that means. You're listening to Common Man and T-Bone.
Buckeye Roundtable's coming up at 6 o'clock. Skip Mossick, Jim Lachey, Paul Keels. Of course, they'll be recapping the Notre Dame game. Bucks on the bye this week. It's unknown if Ryan Day will be able to call in. He normally calls into Buckeye Roundtable, but he is traveling. Now, if you're saying, oh, vacation for Ryan Day, well-deserved after a big win against Notre Dame. No, no, no. He is out there trying to secure the commitment of the next five-star guy. That's what he does. Well, that's part of the job.
Love to see it if it happens, right? You got to keep getting the talent in. That's... I like the end result. I would not like the process. I would not want to have to go into everyone's
news. You and I, not football coaches.
Oh, I would not want to do any part of the recruiting process, but let him live. Although, I know that's what he's got to do.
We may be smarter than some football coaches. So we were talking about Marcus Freeman last segment and how the Notre Dame coach had the last two plays of the game, not just the play where the Buckeyes scored, the last two plays of the game, only 10 defenders on the field. Which is inexcusable. And if I'm a Notre Dame fan today, I am outraged.
Sure.
Did you watch the Sunday night game last night with Josh McDaniels?
Oh, yeah.
Steelers hold on to win.
Gross, by the way.
23-18. But they were up 23-15 with 2:25 left to go. Raiders had the ball. They were driving, trying to come back in this game. It's 4th and 4. 2 minutes, 25 seconds left to go. Josh McDaniels says, let me kick a field goal. Okay.
That makes no sense.
No, it makes no sense because it's already a one-score game. You're down by 8. Okay? It was 4th and 14, maybe, perhaps. It's like, well, 4th and 14. That's a long way to go. I'll kick a field goal, play good defense, hopefully get the ball back and go down and win. Right?
Right.
And you're still going to need a touchdown to win. It's not like, oh, I kick a field goal. All I need then is a field goal to tie or win. You still need a touchdown.
Well,
even with the field goal.
He had, after the game, he was asked about this.
I have the quotes. You want to read them?
Yeah, read them to me. Because there's some logic here that's just not connected.
No, there's no logic. He says, you have two choices there. You try to make it a 5-point game with the field goal where you have an opportunity to win it with the touchdown if you get the ball back. Or you try to go for it there, then if you happen to convert, then you've got to make a 2-point conversion. Yes.
Yeah.
So you're telling me it would be easier to score 10 points on 2 possessions.
And you have to get the ball back and all that stuff, right?
Than it would be to score 8 points on 1 possession.
Right.
It makes no sense to me.
Well, I don't understand at all the logic of... If we kick the field goal now, you're guaranteeing you have to get the ball back and score a touchdown. Guaranteeing you have to score a touchdown. If you go for it on 4th down, you have to convert that 4th down. Yes. And then if not, you still have the opportunity to get the ball back, albeit with a very short time span, and try to go score again. Right? Aren't you giving yourself essentially 2 chances to have a touchdown drive? Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
If you convert on 4th and 4, you can go down and try to score the touchdown, and then it's tied up, and maybe you win the game later in overtime, whatever. But if you don't, you still have a chance to do what they did, which was eventually stop the Steelers, get the ball back, and try again. So I'm not saying that that is the best plan, but it's certainly better than kicking
a field goal and guaranteeing
you have to get the ball back.
And I think, again, stats are important. Advanced metrics are important. a lot of these percentages we assign to things, it's just noise. Now, they pop up during the game all the time. Win probability! In this moment, it's like, all right. What you're doing is you're factoring in every team that's ever played this type of game, and then you're throwing it on this game, which to me is flawed science. But whatever.
Yeah.
But I saw a couple people today saying, well, was Josh McDaniels really that stupid for kicking the field goal? And what they're citing is this. According to ESPN analytics, going for it on 4th and 4 would have given the Raiders a 15.8% win probability compared to 10.2% by kicking the field goal. So really, he's just sacrificing 5% there.
Oh.
It's like, oh.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, I don't know what any of that means. That's a bunch of Iron Eagle gobbledygook right there.
Right.
Yeah. Second of all, I don't know how anybody who's not Josh McDaniels in that moment looks at that situation and says, let's kick the field goal. That's the right move to make.
Right. Also, I'm guessing he may have some things that tell him what to do in certain scenarios. I don't think he has that win probability dialed in like that. But I would ask the ESPN people or the people citing that ESPN stat, great. Do the win probability if the next play after 4th and 4 is 1st and 10, right? From somewhere inside field goal range. I forget, where were they when they did this? Roughly like 25, 30 yard line, yeah, something like that?
Where were they?
What I'm just saying.
They were in comfortable field goal position.
All right, what's the win probability if you're within the 30 with a first down with 2 minutes to go?
Where were they? I'm sorry, I didn't get this. They were on the 8.
Okay.
So they were on the 8-yard line.
Okay. What is the win probability? You got to go for it on 4th and 4. What's the win probability if you have a 1st and goal with 2 minutes to go and you're down 8? Doesn't the win probability probably go from 15% to something better if you convert that 4th and 4?
24%, something.
Yeah, you're guaranteeing yourself when you go for a field goal, your 10% win probability, that's what you're locked in on because you've now chosen that path and kicked the field goal. The win probability changes with every play. So if you do convert the 4th and 4, which is not a given, you then have a much better chance of scoring a touchdown, which then increases your win probability. Again, all this is stupid because you could just look at that and do math in your head and know 8 points is something you can get with a touchdown and a 2-point conversion. And Josh McDaniels should know that because he's a football coach.
Right. You have the ball. It's a 1-possession
inside
game.
The 10.
You're on the 8-yard line. You don't kick a field goal. The end. A couple college football games we didn't get a chance to talk about. Florida State beats Clemson in overtime. I thought Clemson had that game. Florida State has played 2 heart attack games the last 2 weeks. I don't know what they are, okay? But I know that Clemson's finished.
Oh, yeah.
At least for now.
Well, finished in what way? What do you mean?
Well, a lot of people looked at Clemson this year and said, rebound, right? They're back. Don't pay attention to last year.
Oh, no.
They're going to go and they're going to win that conference again. No.
If we're talking about, is Clemson a team that has any discussion level of the college football playoffs?
No.
That's ridiculous. Not this year. Now, if we're saying, is Clemson done as an effective big-time college football program, that's a bigger discussion. I don't know that we're there yet, but no, they've played 4 games this year. 2 of them were against teams that are what you would... 2 of them are from their conference. The other 2 are Charleston Southern and FAU. The 2 games they played of conference opponents, they lost both of them.
Yes.
So bad.
Everyone who coaches offense at Iowa should be fired today.
Hey.
I don't want to hear, oh, they've improved.
Brian
Ferentz? Cade McNamara is there.
Yeah.
They went to Happy Valley, and I expected them to lose that game. I did not expect even Iowa's offense to put a goose egg up at Happy Valley.
Bad.
That is embarrassing.
They have been bad. They continue to be bad.
I know, but that is embarrassing.
And Kirk Ferentz continues to accept mediocrity from his kid. And you know what?
Like, the fan base shouldn't accept it,
well,
though.
They don't. We talked about this with Adam Rittenberg, though, last week, where we asked Adam, like, do you think this changes if they really get this number and they don't hit 26 points per game? What happens? And it's like, well, all that does is give the AD now has the right to rip up the contract. And then it goes back to Kirk Ferentz to decide what he wants to do with his coaching staff and his son, who is on the coaching staff.
They can sign him to a new contract for $1 less.
They can do whatever they want to. He can sign up for more if he wants to. Now, he might have an argument with his AD. I'm just saying, Kirk Ferentz is probably not getting rid of this dude, even if they are this bad. But, that is a terrible offense.
And Oregon absolutely crushes Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
It was a old-fashioned butt-whooping. Deion said after the game, we were hot garbage.
Well, you know what? For all the people who don't like Deion Sanders, and I get it. No one has to like everybody in this world. I understand. I will say this. there were no excuses from Deion Sanders. It did not appear. And it did not appear that he was trying to offload any of this and say, this is not my fault or anything like that. He took responsibility for it, said that it was the better team, clearly, and also said, yeah, we're still looking forward and trying to do the thing. I will give this to Deion, because I don't think a lot of people give him credit for stuff like this. The guy sits there, answers all these questions, and then as his SID, Sports Information Director, is saying, okay, folks, that's it. He goes, no. I don't have anywhere to go.
I'll answer more questions.
Let me answer these questions. And you know what? You deserve to answer those questions, because start off as hot as you are. All the hype is there. You're out on game day. Right. There are going to be questions when you have an embarrassment like that. But I don't think, given the start of this season, if we looked at this Colorado team before they played their first three games, I don't think we would have been shocked by the score.
No. And I think it's, you know, sometimes we do this too much in college sports, where it's, well, this team beat this team, and that means they could beat this team. And I think different weeks and different scenarios can throw a monkey wrench into that plan.
Of
right?
course.
However, sure. I will say that if Oregon played Nebraska, they'd win by 300 points. I am saying that with full confidence.
I agree with you. That's fair.
All right, back page coming up. Common Man and T-Bone on the Fan.
Fan Traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza, home of the Grandview Browns backers.
We currently have an accident causing pretty big delays in the area. I-70 westbound before State Route 256. Left lane blocked there. Stop and go traffic backing up quite a bit. About a 41-minute delay. Police are on the scene. Hopefully they can get that cleared up soon. This report sponsored by Buffalo Wild Wings. From 3 to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, Buffalo Wild Wings happy hour has beer, cocktails, and bar food for only $3 to $6. It's a perfect way to offset a long day. So head to Buffalo Wild Wings for happy hour today. Valid at participating locations. While supplies last, dine in only. Drink responsibly. I'm Adam Zellick for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
The podcast is brought to you by our friends, Care Heating and Cooling. I end every commercial the same way, telling you to hire Care when you need a company you can trust. It's not just a slogan. It's the Care Creed. With arms wide open, the way they live their life and the way they strive to be remembered by you, the customer, at the end of every interaction with Care. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com when you need a company you can trust. Buckeye Roundtable coming up at the top of the hour. Two big hours. Skip Mossick, Paul Keels, Jim Lachey. Then it's Monday Night Football, Bengals and Rams. 8 o'clock. Who will be the starting quarterback for the Bengals? I have no idea. Nobody does. The action right here on The Fan.
I am of the opinion it will not be Joe Burrow tonight. Not because I don't think... I'm not any... No inside information there. It's just the way all this is trending. They've got the backup that they just signed and the practice squad guy they just signed, both active tonight. So, yeah, I'm not going to be shocked if he is sat out. And I think that would be the right move if they do that. I hope they do.
Jets quarterback Zach Wilson. Yuck.
Bad.
I did see Matt Ryan, former Falcons quarterback who now works for CBS, said that he's very happy doing what he's doing and has no desire to go play for the Jets. That's all well and good. The report was this weekend his agent reached out to them, mm-hmm. and they were not interested in him. So there's that.
Yeah, I tend to think there's probably some truth to that.
Joe Namath today, of course, Mr. Jet, he doesn't want Zach Wilson anymore.
He said,
well, first of all, he said that.
Drunk.
He also said,
I want to kiss you.
Send him to Kansas City to back up against somebody like Mahomes. Maybe he'd learn something. I wouldn't keep him. I've seen enough of Zach Wilson.
Chad play impresses me. The same thing impresses them.
Next week, Zach Wilson throws like 4 touchdowns and is like, yeah, that's right, Joe Namath. And then everybody's like, yeah, Zach Wilson's just sticking up for Zach Wilson. That's what I'd like to see. That'd be great if that happens. What
it's
a storyline
to happen.
You don't think so?
Robert Saleh said it's not his fault, though. See, that's not the reason why they lost.
Oh?
They scored 10 points and he was awful, but that's not the reason
why. Well, how much, again, the Patriots probably, what, scored like 70 points or something?
15.
Oh, 15.
That's 15 right. points.
So maybe that is a little bit on the offense when they can't manage more than like 2 touchdowns?
Bad.
That's bad.
Back page.
The back page. with Common Man and T-Bone.
Sponsored by Care Heating and Cooling. When you need a company you can trust, call 1-800-COOLING.
Bone. Well, man, some great news for people who are fans of entertainment. Hollywood writers have reached a tentative deal with the studios, ending a months-long strike. The strike spanned 146 days.
What about the actors, too? Are they still on strike?
Well, I think they had to get writers done first, and then actors comes next.
I see.
Now, all of this getting done is great news, because what it means is all those shows that haven't been happening, now they'll be back, so that when someone comes up to you 8 months from now and is like, hey, have you caught the new season of so-and-so? You can be like, I've been meaning to watch that and haven't yet watched it. So it'll be, you'll be back in business the way that we all are, and that's good to see. Speaking of the theater, how about this? Ford's Theater, kind of famous back in the day.
That's where Abraham Lincoln was shot dead.
Well, yes, and you can buy a piece of history from that night. A pair of front row balcony tickets to Ford's Theater from April 14th, 1865, the night President Lincoln was assassinated by John Wilkes Booth, recently sold at auction for $262,500. Like, I just, again, that's a lot of money to pay for two little pieces of paper. But however, they are very historic pieces of paper. Okay, they are very much so something that I would think a historic collection would be great to have in there. We have seen baseball cards of guys who never played any Major League Baseball sell for more than this because they had a swatch of their jersey in it. And I find that all to be weird. But good for whoever bought that, I guess. Let me ask you this question. Would you own something like that?
Probably not. By the way, if you're thinking, wow, people are weird. Why do we want this? People have always been weird because Abraham Lincoln died in a bed, right?
Yeah.
Blood soaked, everything. He's bleeding from the head. You know what the first thing they did after they wheeled his body off? Cut up the sheets and sold the blood-stained sheets.
Oh,
and people would buy them. We've always been weird.
Yeah, you're right. It's always not just a new product of that. Yeah.
All right, Buckeye Roundtable's next. Bengals and Rams at 8. And we're back tomorrow for a big, I don't know what it's called, Tuesday show. Common Man and T-Bone on The Fan.
Fan Traffic.
Sponsored by Meister's Bar and Pizza, home of the Grandview Browns backers.
We still have an accident causing some pretty big delays. I-70 westbound before State Route 256. Left lane is blocked through that area right now, causing some stop-and-go traffic. Police are reportedly on the scene. That's about a 37-minute delay. This report is sponsored by Buffalo Wild Wings. Join Buffalo Wild Wings for buy one, get one half off traditional wings every Tuesday, and buy one, get one free boneless wings every Thursday. Shake up your week with flavor. Buffalo Wild Wings, Let's Go Sports Bar. Valid at participating locations while supplies last. I'm Adam Zelick for 97.1 The Fan Traffic.
It's a Fan Action Update.
The doubleheader Monday Night Football's back again tonight. The Eagles are a 5.5-point favorite over the Bucs, -230 on the money line. Then in Cincinnati, the Bengals take on the Rams. Cincinnati's a 2-point home favorite, -130 on the money line. The updated AFC North odds have the Ravens the favorite at +160, Browns +225, Steelers +350, and Bengals +450. For your action update, I'm Scotty Vegas.
I was talking to my annoying friend, Duchess Kumquat. She was retelling a very dramatic story about how her and Lord Beaverqueef were stuck sleeping in a very hot room because their janky air conditioning unit took a crapola. They were so hot and sweaty, it took them out of the mood for getting hot and sweaty. Don't be like Kumquat and Beaverqueef. Call my friends at Care Heating and Cooling. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company Beaverqueef can trust.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM HD1 Columbus.
Hey, Common Man here. I know what you're thinking. This guy again? But we have some special bonus stuff for you. Sponsored, of course, by our friends, Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING when you need a company you can trust. Boner, just for you.
Yeah.
Dorian Thompson-Robinson still in concussion protocol.
Oh, yeah.
And so maybe you'd think that would be PJ Walker time, but it's not.
Mm.
Taking first team reps at Browns practice today. ladies and gentlemen, Joe Flacco.
Boy, what a
Flacco, my Cracko.
Long game play by the Ravens to have that one season where Joe Flacco was deemed to be good, so that these many years later, when it all falls apart for the Browns, they go, who can we turn to? Hey, remember that guy who somehow won a Super Bowl with the Ravens? Let's call him Joe Flacco. Come on down.
I would like everybody out there, to their significant other, man, woman, dog, I don't care, I want you to go up to their face later on today and with a straight face, look at him and say, hey, Flacco my Cracko. And just see what happens.
See what, hey, you never know.
Maybe you have the wildest night of passion
you may.
Of your life.
You may find out that that's...
Flacco my Cracko.
That's right. See what happens.
I could Flacco your Cracko.
Offer. Offer to, would you like for either of us to Flacco the other's Cracko?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Let's invent something.
Yeah, why not?
We've done a lot on this show. We brought back bagel sandwiches at McDonald's. We've interviewed the president. We've gotten fired on the air. We've done it all.
I just want to point out, none of those things did we invent. They're just things we did.
Okay, but what I'm saying
is, people have done all those things.
What's lacking is our own entry in Urban Dictionary.
Hmm.
I want to be able to go to Urban Dictionary and search Flacco my Cracko.
Yeah. If we somehow get Flacco my Cracko to be a thing.
Oh, it's a thing, baby.
I can't wait. Let's make it happen.
Let's determine what it is, too.
Well,
where's the mystery
now,
of it? We can't do it on the air.
I think we need to let people determine that on their own. You know what? Let us know what happens with
Flacco
you
my,
this evening. See
look,
what happens.
If Lego my ego can become a thing.
Yeah.
Flacco my Cracko can be a thing, too.
It very much could be.
A special thank you for consuming all the stupidity we can safely shove down your gullet. Come back for more podcasts. And again, the podcast is sponsored by our friends, because they pay us. Care, Heating, and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING when you need a company you can trust. Stop listening now. The podcast is over. Turn it off. Go do something.